starts the Don and Mike Show.
Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
It's good, man. It's all good. We've been trying to hold it down and, provide some information for the listening audience from another perspective, from the perspective of those of us who did time in prison and have some political consciousness. And, good morning.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. How are you this morning?
I'm fine. Thanks for my talking to.
My name is Ralph.
Yes, good morning, Ralph.
And this is the second time I've heard your show, and I have to say that I think it's really great. Whom am I speaking with? I didn't catch her name.
Her name?
No, your name.
Oh, my name. My name is Eddie. I'm the host of the show, Peace and Justice Radio.
Oh, that's great. For a minute, I thought you were Don Geronimo, and he got his voice fixed. Anyway, my crap detector went off.
Yes.
Good morning, caller. You're on the air. Let's talk about some serious business here.
Yeah.
Stay tuned for your shot at Big Bucks. Secret Sound, only on the Don and Mike Show.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Now, here's a song.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
I'm a Sunday cowboy.
I F Rob all the time. And Rob F's me.
We require more white wine.
I'm an Icelandic cowboy.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America.
I had my experience with North Massachusetts. Never, sir. And since I got out of that, and I don't fear anything. There was a lawyer, I met him at the bar, and he invited me home, and I was pretty young and not thinking of those things. And he invited me home, telling that he was living in a 300-year-old, very nice house that he bought also, out of New England. But he invited me for a drink, and as a sailor, I was always going for a glass of whiskey. So we got down to him, and then he started to try to kiss me. I just started to ask him about why don't you go with girls rather? I asked him just because I knew I had to. We could say defend myself, but not without getting scared. And then we got into a heavy discussion on it all. And that turns out that he said, "Well, they are smelling so bad." And I never forget that. Then I found out, and I learned in the night that his fiance was sleeping, and he was going with the policeman in town, when I left the house, I just left quietly. And I got out without any problem.
It takes a lot of courage to get up here and do something that you know people will make fun of.
I'm an Icelandic cowboy.
Living in tree lizards?
It's a vicious oviraptor. It feasts on bird eggs and lays its own eggs in the nest. The unsuspecting mother bird cares for them until the babies hatch and devour her, too.
What a jump!
It's already wiped out the dodo, the cuckoo, and the nene. It has nasty plans for the booby, the titmouse, the woodcock, and the titpecker.
I want to thank Don and Mike for having a lot of fun here. And I didn't travel 3,000 miles to watch you lose, so that's what you want.
All right.
But I want to thank all of you for supporting the Children's Hospital. It's a very, very good cause, and it'll make us all much happier. Incidentally, Don and Mike, I think you're terrific on the radio. You have great wit and great energy, and you're fun to listen to. And I don't know how you do it for 3 or 4 hours like that. Keep it going at that pace. You're really terrific, and I appreciate it. Everybody, have a good summer.
Thank you, Dick Van Patten. Thanks a lot, Dick.
Hi.
All these machines, all these buttons.
You haven't seen them in a while, anyway.
I wish you were just sitting at a table.
Wouldn't it be great if we could do the show like that all the time?
Somewhere in Iceland. Okay? It's just like hi. Tony Soprano.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, then hi, welcome to our show.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Then Junior Soprano.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Lord, you don't know could fill a book.
You realize I've torn down the third wall. I'm talking before the door is open.
That's all right. The microphone isn't on.
And then Bob Barker.
It's the Don and Mike show.
And they'll say what they wish.
There he is.
Then Marv Levy.
Where else would you rather be? Then right here, right now.
And then... Yeah, that signifies the beginning of the show, and then the stormtroopers come in.
Oh, I hate them.
Go away.
All right. Go back from where he came.
Now we got it. And then I play this.
True story. He was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself, a man of faith, a man of hate, and a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
There you go.
The troops are all excited. They all just got Tebow.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs.
Icelandic cowboy.
You're not, boy.
In the west.
And all the ships at sea. Hey, don't steal their yellow. It's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right.
Hi, and thank you, Robbie. And thank you for listening. Don and Mike Show, new episode on this Wednesday. Metallica 14ered.
Right.
Phone number from the United States. Oh, I'll talk about the United States in a second. 877-365-3636. Canada. That's like a bigger Iceland.
Yeah.
800-636-1067. In D.C., 202-432-1067.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Hi, Buzz. And you know, we've dropped the welcome. So all I got to do is time out, too.
Someone call for a doctor?
And there. Bam.
Yeah.
There you go. Sorry about the other stuff. It just, all these buttons. I was used to just sitting at a big table.
Yeah, it was refreshing with a beautiful view of the Atlantic Ocean.
In a lounge.
I'm an Icelandic cowboy in the west.
In the west.
There he is. Iceland, as the German says.
You will hear more songs from the Icelandic cowboy on today's show that we were not able to get to on Monday.
Oh, good.
Also, yes, we do have the tapes of... of Mike. We've got some new uncensored Mike tapes.
Now, where was that on the plane or was that
this
on,
is
the,
on the plane?
Oh, on the plane.
But you were just holding the camera up to your face.
Right. I thought it might have been dinner, but
we require. Me things.
The next restaurant.
Require more white wine.
That's Mike saying we require more white wine.
White wine.
We didn't have time to go through the mic tapes from the airplane.
I didn't know if you wanted them or not. Would you like me to get them? I have them on a CD.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
We had a good time on the plane.
Are they arable?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We were, I think it's safe to say we were a little giddy on the trip back yesterday.
Sure.
The mic moment I have for you is an extended interior monologue from Iceland Air.
Very good.
Where you held the camera.
Listen, let me
turn it around and face
me. Let me just start today by saying, and I said it yesterday as we left the sweet city of Ireland, and it's a fine town.
Iceland.
The town of, we would say Ireland again.
Said Ireland.
Same difference.
The country.
Same difference. As we left, I thought it will be hours until once again I'm greeted by my wonderful wife, my beautiful son, and most importantly, 500 high-definition channels. Well, not all of them high-definition.
Right.
But at least 500 channels.
500 channels of clear, Chris Pitcher.
Man, do I love America. And this is no BS. And I was, anybody that was in earshot yesterday heard me lecture. And it was after the drinks. I was way sober. Mm-hmm. As we pulled into, and you know, very rare that I'll say this coming into Baltimore.
Yes.
As I saw, you know, the greater Baltimore. I felt my heart go to my throat, and I just looked around and said, "That's America! Mm-hmm. That, you see what that is? Those are trees!" Because there were a bunch of that were on the plane. They were looking at like they'd never seen trees before.
Right.
And I said, "And you see that? That is a major highway. That's not stones going through an area that looks like the moon. That's an 8-lane death strip. And you see those automobiles? I don't see a Peugeot there. I don't see a Renault. You know what I see?
Yeah.
Chevys.
Yeah.
Ford.
Yeah.
All right, BMWs and Mercedes, too.
Sure. Yeah.
And I see people ignoring the speed limit.
Right.
Driving as fast as they possibly can.
America.
And what I love best about this country. And God damn it, every time I go to Europe, I get slapped in the face with it. We are a land of people who want our needs served now. And that means when you go into a restaurant, you don't spend an hour with mumbo jumbo BS breadsticks. You go to the Olive Garden, my friend, and you get breadsticks up the ass. I do love America. And I realize, and I mean this, I swear to Christ on my family's life, every time we leave America and we return, I say, why did I ever leave in the first place? Because everything I love is in America. And yes, even you, Baltimore, because we flew into BWI Airport, and I know many times Baltimore is the armpit of the show.
Beautiful BWI with the convenient parking garage.
But let me tell you, last night, I was proud to kiss the ground when we return to the United States of America. But color me Johnny Patriotic.
Bravo!
Animated Home in time to watch 24 last night.
Ah. Bravo!
Thank you.
Way to go.
USA. I'm always happy to get back because it really, it's the greatest freaking nation in the world. And trust me, we've been to a couple of others, mm-hmm. and they're okay. They're like junior Americas. They're like Americas want to be.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, it's like, Jesus. We went to what they call, in all the propaganda, the largest mall in Iceland.
Right.
And here in America, it is a mall that you would walk into and you would go, they got nothing here.
Yeah.
And you turn around.
Right.
I mean, the highlight was going to Bonus Pig. Which is the...
what is Bonus Pig? You guys were talking about that. Change.
It's the Iceland equivalent... No, it's not a currency exchange. It's the
Grocery store, I think.
It's the equivalent of Walmart, and they have more than groceries.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Bonus Pig isn't as good as Tiger.
Tiger is the $1 store.
The 200 kroner store.
Yeah, 200 kroner store.
200 kroner store.
The value.
Yeah. Boy, am I glad to be back.
I'm an Icelandic cowboy in the west.
In the west.
Listen, there's nothing about America that I don't love, and every time I leave, I realize that just how great we have it here. Even with all the stuff that drives us nuts, all the traffic and all the a-holes and all the impolite people who don't have patience.
It's the greatest country in the world. I agree with you.
Amen.
We were giddy on that plane coming back. We were so anxious to get home. We had a great time in Iceland, but I'll tell you, we were delighted to get back home. And it is a good feeling when that plane touches down. You realize you're back in your home country.
And we had wonderful hotel accommodations over there. But I want to tell you something. You can go to the crappiest FTEL up and down the street. You know the street where everybody's got one? Mm-hmm. There's one right around the corner here where the salespeople go to mate during the day. And, you know, you pay $35 for an hour of lunchtime mating.
Right.
And the room you get with the cockroaches and everything else is still bigger and nicer than the European rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just, that's my humble opinion. And also, I don't know if I mentioned this when we were there.
You know, I right up until that point, I agree with you.
You lost me there.
The breezeway.
Well, I've never been in the breezeway.
Breezeway. I've looked into, I've been in rooms similar to the breezeway.
Let me just say one other thing, and I don't know.
I'll take that room in Iceland any day of the week.
I don't know if I mentioned it when we were there, but here's another nutty thing about Iceland that drove me nuts.
What?
I had a double bed. No problem. They put two single mattresses together to make a double. The concept of sheets to those people is not in their culture. And all you do is there's a cover on the mattress, mm-hmm. and then there was a blanket. Which I guess
like a quilt.
Yeah, which I'm fine with, mm-hmm. except
the quilt was like covered in a white sheet, though. Yeah. Mine was.
Well, the mm-hmm. problem is that it was cut into half.
It split, yeah.
Yeah, so you really didn't have an entire comforter or quilter or blanket.
I understand,
you,
Dave.
It's like what you did. If you took a regular double-sized bedspread mm-hmm. and cut it right down the middle, and when you walked into your hotel room, you said, there's your wonderful bed. And, you know, good luck figuring out how you're going to stay warm tonight because the radiator is in the bathroom. At least it was in my room.
It's not a radiator. It's a towel warmer.
No, Mike, it's also a radiator in my room, at least it was, because I called them up and said, how do I turn on the heat? And the lady said, it's the nozzle right here. And I said, I thought that was to warm the towels. And she said, no, to warm the room.
Really?
Swear to God.
I had a wall-sized heater in my room.
Yeah, I had a little thing in my room. Well, they've done remodeling.
Yeah.
I had a little thing in my room, a little box on the wall
mm-hmm.
that did nothing, that didn't move, that had no opening, no way of turning things up or down.
What temperature did you want it to be? You wanted it to be warmer?
Climate control, 69 or so would have been fine with me,
mm-hmm.
but it was freezing. Listen, Iceland is a nice city. Ireland is a nice city. They're all nice cities, but America's the greatest city of all. Just let me say that.
True. Thank you, Don.
And I'm very glad to be back.
Glad to be home.
And still, you know, that the time thing is nuts. That
are you a little out of sorts today?
A little. Now, I went to bed at about 11:30,
right?
Real time. Mm-hmm. And even when we travel, I want all of you to know I am so American that when I refer to the time, I say real time.
Yes.
I don't say American time, East Coast time, Washington time, Baltimore time. I say real time.
Well, what about the parts of America where it's like a different time?
But even when we go to the West Coast, I always still say, but we'll meet at real time.
Real time.
Real time.
Did you keep your watch on real time?
I did.
I didn't do that. The difference was significant enough where I changed it. I wanted to know that I was coming in at 6 o'clock in the morning. I didn't want to know that I was coming in at 2 o'clock in the morning.
But then you would have started at 4 o'clock in the afternoon instead of starting at 8 o'clock at night.
I've done that plenty of times.
Anyway, the whole time thing is nuts. And that's why, I don't know if we explained this.
Wait a minute. Now, hold on a second. What do you mean the time thing is nuts? I mean,
thing is nuts.
Well, why is it not? I mean, it's where you...
It's
where you are in the world, on the...
It's nuts. Let's face it. The entire world eventually will speak English as their primary language, or as I like to call it, American.
Right.
Eventually, they will all, and what does it matter in Iceland, where the sun's always out, if they worked on East Coast time?
Wouldn't make a lot of difference, probably.
What they are going to say is that the entire world might eventually speak Spanish.
No. Mm-hmm. Not my world, Mike. I'll be checking out. I'll be in my garage with the garden hose before that happens.
Sorry, you hear that.
No, English will be the required language, and the current time of wherever we are will be the required time of the rest of the world.
Wherever you are.
So even in places where the sun would, say, go down, it would be noon.
Yeah. And I'm sure you've seen the movie like with those businessmen. I was watching some movie with Michael Douglas. Why is it I always watch the movie where Michael Douglas hires some guy to kill his wife? I don't know, but...
You carry that movie with you or what?
Yeah, that one in Ocean's 11.
Right.
And Rob and I were having a big discussion on the plane. Incidentally, Rob was so friggin' drunk on the plane on the way back.
Oh, dear.
The only time I looked across at Charles Broyhill was... Right towards the end of the flight, when Rob doing his laugh, you could hear his laugh all throughout the entire plane.
The continent.
But when he stomped, I was ready to kill him. When something struck him so funny, this was after your eighth beer,
yeah.
and you stomped down, and I was either watching a movie or looking out the window, and I hear this
boom, like something hit the plane. And I looked over at Charlie Braille, and Charlie Braille gives me this look and points up at Rob, and he gives this little foot thing, you know?
It was just the sound. You know what that sound was? The sound of 5% alcohol in the beer.
There you go.
Yeah, the beer
got the beer thing underway.
Rob was loop-de-looped, and I was right behind him.
Yeah, and it was a very festive flight, as you said.
You know, I love Rob. He's my buddy, but man, did he have the beer breath yesterday. He had the beer burps yesterday that were blowing my way, so... At one point, I napped a little bit, and I put this movie in, A Perfect Murder, Michael Douglas and Gwyneth Paltrow. And I was saying, you know, it's weird. I would never kill my wife. I love my wife, and I missed her very much, but it's a nice little fantasy game I play with Rob. I said, who could play the part of, what's that actor's name, Robbie?
Viggo Mortensen.
Viggo Mortensen. Who could play that part? And we finally came up with
Joe.
Joe.
Hmm.
I could hire Joe to kill my wife, but the problem is, according to the plot of the movie...
Doesn't the artist seduce her?
Yes, Joe would have to be having an affair with Frieda first.
That's probably not going to happen.
Hmm. But I was saying that Joe would be great, though, because as I walked him through my house, and Michael Douglas smokes cigars, like I do, you could walk through the house and say, tonight is the night I play cards with my friends.
Right.
About 9:30, Frieda will be in the bathtub. And then Joe would say, she would be in the bathtub, because that's what she does on the nights I play cards. You will enter through the service entrance, and then a simple bludgeoning as he starts bandying about the pans that are hanging from the ceiling.
Right.
And then the guy says, why shouldn't I just kill her in the bathtub? He says, that'll look like a crime of passion. You just want to bludgeon her and make it appear that it was a random crime. Then you go into the bedroom and help yourself to some of the jewelry and...
She's a very dark subject.
Well, that's what was making Rob laugh so much, was the fact that right. As I'm watching the movie, and we're seeing Michael Douglas explain this to this, to this guy, I said, picture, that's me. And that's Joe.
Right.
Joe
is going through your instructions.
Our man, Joe. So, man, am I glad to be back. And the time thing is just nuts.
I think we're all still very tired.
A little, yeah. You know, we got done with the show at 11 p.m. Iceland time on Monday, which is 7. And then the flight left yesterday at 4:45, which was really... 12:45, and arrived at 6:45, which, of course, in Ireland was 10:45.
Right.
And we had all just gotten acclimated and assimilated to the Iceland time.
Yes.
And then we came back home, and all of a sudden I was home, and I'm watching 24 with Frieda, and I said, do you realize right now in Iceland it's 1 o'clock in the morning?
That's right.
Yeah. Nuts.
It's wacky.
But anyway, it was a great trip. The only bitch is the fact that it took us a day to get there and a day to get back.
I really want to thank Magnus and everybody at Iceland Air again. They could not have been nicer to us, and we really did have a fantastic time. And it's always great to be home, and it was a fun place. It
they
really
took care
was.
Of us, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm glad to be back.
I know you are,
man. I am too.
I really
we
am.
All are.
We were giddy. I mean, everybody was giddy. You're ready to, when you go overseas, you're always ready to get back home. You really, really are.
Of course.
And I came back to Frieda, and she was happy. I mean, you know, this is what I'm finding, that traveling really now is, as she's really heavily into this empty nest thing.
Right.
With Bart, he's all done with his exams now and looking forward to graduation in a couple of weeks and then heading off to college. She's realizing more and more that our lives are going to be, once again, more intertwined than ever.
Right.
And I'm not, frankly, used to this. I'm not used to coming home as I did last night, and she's waiting for me.
Yeah.
She's waiting for
me. With a greeting.
Yeah. Now, normally, you know, I come home, and it's like, yeah, Dad's home, and the dogs are the ones that are excited to see me. She's busy doing that. Well, no. Now that we've got this empty nest thing happening.
Right.
She was,
you're the man?
She was excited to see me. She's happy to see me. I gave her the goose and the gels that I bought over there. And she's happy. The sweater. She's happy. And I said, at one point, this is a real indication of how much she missed me. She said, if you hurry and you give me my gifts later, my Mother's Day gifts, we can go in the cave right now and watch 24.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, but you know what? We can table it and watch it later.
Right.
She said, wouldn't you be happier just sitting down in the chair and watching it right now?
Oh, that's nice.
And I'm on my way in there thinking, you know, This is like something out of a science fiction movie that some alien must have came down and replaced my wife.
Suddenly she'll be sitting there in your cave and something will come out, rip out of her chest.
Yeah, right. Something like Aliens. Right, because she's sitting in there with me watching television. The first thing I do when I come home, she's watching TV with me.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Hard to figure out. And then today I got the whole big thing about, I don't like it when we're apart. That, you know, you're the greatest husband ever. You know, I'm looking at her going, wait, I'm the same schmuck that left on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
absence makes the heart grow fonder.
I guess so. So we got to go to Iceland more often because my chick.
Rob, why did you say no?
We just got back.
No, I agree. I don't want to go back to Iceland.
I'm an Icelandic cowboy in the west.
In the west. Anyway, she missed me, and I missed her, too. I really did. Although, thank God, we never mentioned this when we were there.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't ask for a credit card when we checked into the hotel.
Yeah.
So, man, oh, man, I must have called home roughly 10 times a day. And the biggest waste of money was right before we were leaving when I was really bored up in the room. And I was watching Pop TV, which is their version of MTV.
Right.
One of the three channels that was available.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a song on that I wanted my wife to hear. So I called long distance, a ridiculous amount. You know, yeah. We weren't paying for it.
Right.
I said, hey, baby, listen to this. And I brought the phone over by the TV and just held it up by the speaker. And I held it there for about a minute. I got the thing like on volume 84. And I pull it back and I go, isn't that great? She goes, I couldn't hear a word. It was all like,
I'm an Icelandic cowboy.
I'm an Icelandic cowboy in the west.
In the west. But it's nice to be back.
Yeah.
And today will be a good show because we're goofy tired.
Yeah.
We're all goofy tired. And
I started a diet today.
I was not going to bring that up today.
I don't want
to
get weighed today, but I didn't weigh myself this morning at all. But I started this diet, and it's the combination of jet lag and just not eating crap. And this diet that I'm on, like, you go through different phases, and I'm in the first phase where you almost do kind of an Atkins type thing.
But you've been on this diet for...
I started this morning. I started today.
So you've been on, what, 7 hours?
You have no idea the average, like, stuff that I eat in the morning.
No, I guess I don't.
Before work, you know?
I guess I don't.
I mean, come on, Don. Jesus.
So what have you had thus far?
I'm dragging my ass.
What have you had thus far?
I get to eat the Atkins diet is what it is. The first.
See,
really, I mean, sort of, but it's like with
meat and bacon.
Meat and not bacon. No, you got to egg whites and, it's kind of specific to protein you eat and all that.
Well,
that's what, and so what I did last night was knowing that I was, this might not have been good either, knowing that I was going to start this today.
Yeah, I know.
I stopped at my favorite Chinese restaurant on the way home.
I was going to say, I noticed all the one thing about Iceland is the giant Kit Kat candy bars.
Oh, those are good.
Do you know what I did with mine that I bought at the airport?
What?
I gave it to the ex. And the cake.
Hey!
Very nice.
Which was, the whole idea, the reason I was staying out till 6, the reason I was picking out in these restaurants and going crazy, is because I knew that, I was going to start this thing, and I started the thing today, and I got to eat two oranges a day, which is an interesting little deal. It's, but next week it'll be interesting to see.
For your wife.
And the worst thing of all, the hooch.
Now, how are you going to do with that? Well,
I don't know.
God knows you've got enough in your system it should last you for a few days.
I would think so. I would think
you're
so.
Probably,
but I can't even drink soda water.
You're probably still legally drunk right now.
I can drink like 2 soda waters a day. So I got to drink regular water when I go out to my... I'm still going to go out to my bars.
Yeah.
But I'm just not going to drink booze,
Oh, would I love to have a camera for that.
I'll probably go home earlier.
Yeah, I think so. You probably arrive about 8, leave about 8:10. That's it. Good night, everybody.
That's exactly what it's about.
Well, good luck, and I mean it.
Yeah.
I mean it.
It's a company.
Day number one today.
Jet lag and I planned this. I mean, I knew that we were coming back, and I knew we were going to go crazy over in Iceland, and, that's why I was festive on the plane. But, The food and drink, the wining and dining that went on over there was to the point where I don't think I could have handled two more days of that. It was almost too much.
Yeah,
well, I mean, they took us to really great restaurants, and they really, really treated us well. And, you know, and the food and the drink, you're right, the incidentals in the hotel, we could eat whatever we wanted.
Again, I got to disagree, though, because, well, first off, in the hotel, they had the EAS protein shakes.
Right. What do you mean in the hotel? Like in a shop in the hotel?
No, down in the workout room.
The spa.
Oh, really? They had that there.
They had that there, so I'd go down and do, you know, run on the treadmill, and I went down there three times a day to get those things.
Treadmills kicked ass, didn't
they? Yeah, very nice. So I was ready. By the time nighttime came, I was ready for a meal.
But you didn't like the little bit at a time.
No, it's like, here's one bite, here's one quarter of a spring roll. Now, enjoy your watered-down...
See, you know why that didn't bother me?
Booze with no ice.
You know, one time before dinner, I had a bag of Doritos.
Okay, well...
Before we went out.
That's
but I can understand how you were...
You know, I came back from Iceland, and I weighed myself this morning. I lost 3 pounds.
That because you were doing your thing.
Wow.
Yeah, because when we went out to eat...
Right.
Like, there's no food.
Right.
I mean, that's... I was thinking, and I mentioned this to Manass when we were over there. That's why I didn't see a lot of fat... People.
God, there are no fat people
in Iceland.
I mean, our bus driver was like the only guy.
Mm-hmm. Sergeant Schultz.
The restaurant guy was a little, a little chunky, but like he's eating gourmet food all the time.
Right.
Right.
But really, you look at the average person over there.
They're all skinny.
They're all skinny and they're tall and they're blonde and they're well, the guys. You know, you either get a guy that looks like he could be a male model, or you get a guy that looks like he could be an alien.
There was a lot of John Teshes over there.
Yes, there were.
There were an awful lot of John Teshes.
And a lot of, like, elfin-like faces. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. But with regular big bodies, but...
On the guys. I mean, the women, really, what they say about the women and the way the women look, you go into an average restaurant, and, you're going to see... You're going to see two or three women that you would describe as hot.
Mm-hmm.
That's just going to happen. And then you go to, you pick with the guys. You're going to see some guys that are okay looking, like the one guy he said looked like Jerry Glanville. But you see other guys that have these round, balding, egg-like faces.
I didn't see...
It sickens me the way you guys generalize about people.
on the whole trip, I want to tell you that... And I know Jerry Seinfeld allegedly went to Iceland all the time to pick up hot chicks. Oh, we heard a great story about what an a-hole he was.
Mm-hmm.
I saw exactly two hot, bangable women, not counting Magnus's girlfriend,
right,
who incidentally I thought was a little Karen Carpenter-ish, a little too skinny for my taste.
No, she's fine with me.
There was a real hot girl at the Snow Globe store,
yeah,
where Rob bought his snow globe. Real nice, real pretty, real big jugs chewing gum.
Yeah.
Just as dumb as the day was long.
Uh-huh.
And then yesterday at the airport, there was just a beautiful woman. No breasts, but just beautiful Icelandic features. And
yeah,
there was only two. I only counted two really hot girls.
Well, you weren't looking as hard as I was, probably.
I was.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, because I just, in general, I mean, I did a whole... You guys went to the mall, and, I went down with Michelle, our sales lady, went down this main shopping street that they have there.
So you say.
Yeah. No, we just stayed in my room.
Yeah.
And it was wonderful. I saw just, in general, there was just a look when you would consider, women average, above average, knockouts. I mean, if you're talking about, true knockouts,
that's the rap that Iceland has, is that you go there and it's the most beautiful woman in the world.
Well, I think so. And I don't think there's anything that I saw that changed my mind on that. I think, in general, they're hot-looking women over there. And I would have loved it if I got introduced to one or two.
Christina from Prague.
I'm afraid I must disagree. Who was? Oh, that was one of the dancers at the Errata Club?
Yes, he's a dancer.
Did you see any of the people working in the airport when we arrived last night? Those were beautiful. All American girls.
Yes. Welcome home.
Yes, how foolish of me to compare Iceland to Baltimore.
Those women.
How foolish.
Sure, okay, there was the occasional giant overgrown witch-like mole. There was the facial hair.
Yes.
There was the stomach that had... pushed 5, 6, 7, maybe 8, 9 kids out. But it's the inner beauty that I'm talking about,
Mike.
It is
the inner beauty that is America.
I love America.
Yeah.
I love America. When I came home last night, I said to my wife, I don't want to go anywhere else on vacation. I want to go, if you want to go to California, go to Florida. You want to go to Ocean City, go to Ocean City. I don't want to leave this country.
Yeah.
Everything I like is in America.
That's true.
Why would I possibly leave?
Yeah.
And even the countryside.
I hate it. I hate it when I agree with you on these things. Because it doesn't offer any real balance. But I will tell you.
Well, you're speaking the truth. See,
the
people,
more
the
older
the
I get, it's horrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The older I get, the more I feel like staying home.
You want to know what Iceland's like? And I know that I believe we haven't been canceled in Salt Lake yet. You want to know what Iceland's like? Any of you Utahns, go open your window. You see those mountains?
Yeah.
That's it. Right there.
With the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah. If you want to know what downtown Iceland...
How beautiful it is. It's beautiful. Yeah. I mean, those mountains are absolutely beautiful in Iceland.
If you want to know what downtown Iceland is like, I say Wichita, Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
Open your door and imagine this. You're a step above downtown Iceland.
I would consider downtown Reykjavik to be similar to a New England fishing village.
What about
like a Bar Harbor, Maine? I would really.
What about the area where our hotel was?
That would be. That's tough to describe. Is that where you're going for Wichita?
Yeah,
big time.
A lot of colorful roofs, though. I mean, it was very colorful in that way.
Yeah,
not right where we were.
Mm-hmm.
No, well, kind of across.
But if you go down to the main area down there,
right. touch of Reston. Sort of a very pre-planned feel.
Planned community, yeah.
There was a couple, like, classic churches that probably dated back several hundred years, but I think it's a very young city.
Yeah. Anyway, listen, you know,
it seems to be a very young city.
Yeah. Let's break, and I see all the lines are jammed with people wanting to ask us about our exciting trip to Iceland.
Yes!
And we'll answer those calls. And then we got a show today, and we've done such a great commercial that we'll be giving away...
I'm an Icelandic cowboy in the world.
All week we're giving away free vacations to Iceland.
Oh, you'll have a good time over there. Yeah. I mean, you really will.
Yeah. You can go to the same city that we went to, and when you leave, say, thank God, I'm going back to America. but it's nice. When you first get there, it's nice. It doesn't really hit you until you've been there like 2 days.
So you're saying it's good in the beginning?
Yeah, just like Hitler. Good in the beginning. So let's just blow off the contest here, and when we come back, we'll get to your calls, because we are going to have a contest very soon to give away some money
good
trip to Iceland, and we have guests coming in today, and we got a busy show, and I don't know. I'm just all over the friggin' place.
You are glad to be back in your home country.
I am. God damn, I love
America. You bleed red, white, and blue.
I love everything about America. I love the commercialism. I love the anger. I love the give it to me now feeling that we have in America. I love it.
And the women in Baltimore.
I even love our commercials.
Me too.
I even love our commercials. Because those commercials over there stink. They just stink on ice. I didn't see one good commercial the whole time I was there. Except the Toyota one where they were dancing outside the cars. That one was not
that
bad.
Was a good
that was not bad.
I saw that one.
Everybody is dancing in the moonlight.
In the West.
Yeah, so listen, it's great to be back, and I promise we'll chat with you. Stay there. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And now, the world debut. After approximately one bottle of wine... On the airplane, yesterday, Mike.
I don't have a pen. I haven't been able to fill out my card. Do you understand what I'm saying? Look into my eyes. That's blessing day. Yeah. Let's have a ship, shall we? We are drinking it right now. Having a good time? I can see the gray. Wait. I see my friend around here. See, there he is. How are you? I'm having a good time. Let me zoom in on you. There you are. How are you?
I'm fine.
Are you ready to go home?
Yeah.
All right. Good videotape to show the party.
You like it, yeah?
This we will call... our trip to Iceland. Our trip. This will be...
our trip to Iceland. We had a good time, huh? Yes. Good. This tape will come back to haunt me, no? There we go. Our trip to Iceland.
Well, there's more, but
they're the hair and the teeth in the comedy tumor. Don and Mike.
That's all the time we had for right now, but there's more. There's more. You actually had
I think I had the camera right on my mouth.
In your mouth for the entire the entire diatribe.
And basically all I was saying was, are you having a good time?
Just your mouth, and it looks so great on a big TV screen. You have to see it. You really do.
Let's see who's on the phone, and we got tons of crap to get to. Hello, Don and Mike, back in the United States. Hello. Oops, hi.
Hey.
You're on the air. Howdy.
Don and Mike.
Hi.
You guys are radio gods, and God bless America.
Greeting, my friend.
Hey, I wanted to call and thank you for the trip to Iceland that I had a month ago.
You went over there?
I did, and I've been trying to call. I was going to give you guys some heads up on the TV situation and the food situation.
Well, we want to make sure that that we let you know that your TV choices are limited. However, if you like Scooby-Doo or Star Wars, those are two movies, or The Shipping News. Right. Those are the movies that they run continuously in your hotel rooms.
Well, a month ago it was a little different. I don't remember which movies they were, but they were the same two movies over and over.
Well, you know, listen, it's a nice, like the trips are given away today. They're perfect.
Yeah.
It's two nights and 3 days. That's just enough time to go to the city of Iceland, have a grand time.
Yeah, you can have a good time. That's a perfect trip.
Yeah, it is. Really.
Here's the problem. I live in Reno, and I extended it.
Well,
hello?
Well, yeah, that's your fault.
Yeah, I found that out when I got home. Did you guys go to the Penis Museum?
We did not make it to the Penis
Museum. No, we did not.
I went to the Penis Museum, and it was closed the day I went.
Oh.
Yeah, I was pretty disappointed. They have real penises in there. Whale penises.
Okay, bye-bye.
Right here.
There you go.
Thank you for calling, no ass.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, radio whores.
Hi, but he's an American ass.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Hey, I was wondering if Mike went to Dublin in Reykjavik, the little Irish pub.
No, I didn't go there. I went by it a couple of times, and I wanted to go in there, but, when you're drinking as much as we were drinking, there's only, so many places you can go through.
Right. Well, I'm sure you should have gone there, Mike. That was probably one of the hotter places that you could drink.
I think anywhere Mike went became one of the hot places.
Yeah, absolutely.
Place to be.
Much like it is here in the States. That's a compliment.
But what about the prices of booze there? You couldn't like that at all.
Well, the best thing is that we had our guy, a mayonnaise who paid for everything.
Magnus.
You're obviously lucky, because we went to, it was a...
Well, the way to do it, the way we're told to do it, really, if you go over there,
you go to the duty-free shop.
You go to the duty-free shop, you get a little fired up, and then you go out and just hang out and then do that.
And when you're with a guy who pays for everything, you can be like Mike in the restaurant.
We require more white wine.
It was just one bender to the next.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello, Don, Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, welcome back, guys.
Thanks.
Hey, I was wondering, I'm getting ready to go on an extended flight, and I was wondering how you handled the no smoking thing.
Now, this is one good thing about Europe that I'll say, and one thing I wish we had in America is the fact that really, in Europe, you can smoke anywhere. It's just, you can't smoke on the airplane, obviously, but I mean, as soon as you get off the airplane, light up.
Hoop away.
And you're out at dinner, light up. I'll tell you, the last night we were there, and I love my cigars.
Mm-hmm.
We went to this joint after dinner, and it was so smoky in there, I had to leave.
Yeah, it was unbelievably
real
smoky.
Yeah.
It's still very popular over there.
The ventilation system in this place was the door.
I feel for those restaurant owners over in, Bethesda, Maryland,
mm-hmm,
where
right.
they're where they've got this city council that's trying to do a total smoking ban in restaurants. Mm-hmm. And it really, you know, and I'm a reformed smoker. I mean, I fell off the wagon in Iceland, but I'm right back on, and I won't be smoking on a regular basis probably for the rest of my life. But I swear to God, it amazes
that
me.
On tape.
No, really, I don't. I don't think I that I'm done with. Because it's just
you're done.
You're gone.
You're gone.
It really irritates me that, like, if you want to go into a place and there's an area where you can have a cigar, it's very, very. It's going to be very tough on the people that run businesses that are specifically, you know, for people that want to go out and have an evening.
Ask the people in Delaware.
Right.
In Delaware, they've had this. I know I've spoken about this before, that there are a bunch of people, especially on the Maryland-Delaware line, the Pennsylvania-Delaware line. Mm-hmm. You normally would have a place you'd like going to in Delaware, but you won't go there, especially in the wintertime, because if you want to have a cigarette or, like myself, a cigar, you got to step outside in 20-degree weather.
Right.
You know, because it's no smoking, and I got all these big signs.
When are Americans going to realize that it is our right to kill each other? We can kill ourselves if we want to.
On one hand, in the great state of Delaware, they have signs up all over the interstate saying, Delaware, a smoke-free state.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 seconds later, there's a big sign that says, cigarette warehouse ahead. Remember, Delaware is a tax-free state.
Right. It's silly. But, a lot of areas are moving. I mean, California's that way now.
Well, that's
banning smoking outdoors, even. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's California, though. And we all know that California is just California.
Yeah, it's really not even part of the United States.
Well, the southern part isn't. Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike show. Up north by San Francisco and Seattle, or Sacramento, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
That's still the United States.
Absolutely.
All the way.
You know, certain part of Los Angeles, it might as well be Tijuana East. Yeah. We might as well just give half of California to Mexico.
Again.
Say take it. Yeah. Yeah, again, thank you, brother.
Back to them.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing, Radio Gods?
Howdy.
Hey, Buzz.
Hey.
Rob.
Hey, now wait a minute. Now, let me explain something to you. Yeah, we are all a little jet lagged today. You're going to have to pick up your energy level.
Come on now.
Sorry, man. Hey, Mike, did you get laid while you were over there?
No.
I thought Don was going to try to hook you up.
No.
Every time,
you know
every
what?
Time
there was no hooking up possible.
But every time I would try and say, oh, there's a woman, you'd always say no, you know, leave me alone, or something like that. You did in that one bar. I said, how about her?
Walk up. This is my friend. He'd like to F you.
And you said, leave me alone.
No, I mean,
Mike, you're not wussing out on us, are you, in your old age?
No, I'm really not. It just, my opportunity was Saturday night. And Saturday night, we were invited to a helmet party. And quite frankly, where I excel, and you'll agree with this, if we had women at that dinner table, it would have been at least more fun.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and it was, you know, that was the chance. You really go out, to a place, you got Icelandic guys hanging out with Icelandic girls, and I don't want to, God, they're hating this right now. But, I mean, that's really the way it is. At least that's the vibe that Buzz and I got when we were out on the town, you know.
Or was it like Buzz at the Erotic Club?
Well, it was erotic, to say the least.
Yeah. Now, was it you know, I didn't ask you this when
very much
there,
like any nice
club,
nice
gentleman's club,
same
like
thing.
Any
same
nice
thing.
American strip club. It was
very much.
Where I met Christina from Prague.
Expensive. For one. Well, you know how you go into a strip club and your booze is more expensive than normal booze.
Oh,
right?
Man.
God.
Well, then go to a country where the booze is more expensive than normal booze, and then the strip club where
the expensive
booze is more. Yeah, you're welcome. I treated my pal over here.
There you go.
That was nice.
But you know, I did find that if you were with the impression I got, especially when we went into that last restaurant, the smoky place where you guys left, that they were into keeping to themselves, and that's really the way. You know, you weren't dealing with a lot of people that were curious and wanted to talk to Americans.
Listen, like everywhere. And maybe we just have this.
Smaller country. It's a smaller world, I should say.
Maybe we've just got this thing because we're the greatest and they know we're the greatest. But there is a slight anti-American vibe because, let's face it, our entire culture influences the whole world.
Yeah, when I went to Ireland, I guess 7 or 8 years ago, and then I went a couple of years ago, there was a difference between those two times. I think that the world, because of the internet and because of everything else, has gotten much smaller.
Oh, yeah.
And the vibe I got is not a real, you know, we hate Americans, but it's just like, yeah, you're American, so what?
Right.
That's the attitude.
More like that.
Nobody wants to show, hey, You know, whereas years ago, 20 years ago, John Norman and I were talking about this. He went over to Norway, and it was like a phenomenon to see Americans in different countries. First of all, there's so many of us that travel now.
Now they see us everywhere.
Yeah, they see us everywhere. They see our culture.
They see our products everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, warmed my heart to see the world's skinniest McDonald's. When we went to
that was a weird look. The one I saw was like almost a wedge of cheese.
Yeah, when we went to the biggest mall in Iceland, translated about 30 stores, when we were leaving, when we went past Bonus Pig, which is one of their big chain stores, we finally saw the friendly golden arches. But it was like a closet. It really, the place was the width of a closet,
right.
And it was big and long, and it's like, I guess there's room for two people in the restaurant.
The thin people.
One going in and one
they
going out.
They are much
out.
Thinner than we are as Americans.
Hello, Don and Mike. Hello? Are you there?
Someone.
Hello, idiot?
No, I think it's the blind guy from Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah, hi, guys.
Hey, blind Glenn.
Yeah.
You're not losing your hearing, too, are you, Glenn?
I'm losing my voice and my hearing and my doggone eyes. I'm just a big mess.
Hey, blind Glenn.
Yay. Was there any black guys over there?
Pardon me?
See any black guys over there?
Well, not...
I did. I swear to God I did.
Really?
I counted. The whole time we were there?
Yep.
I saw four.
Oh, my.
And two were on TV.
What kind of radio stations do they have over there?
Bad. Real bad. Although I bought music. I bought the Icelandic music. I bought some of it. There's this one chick they have who is such a POA. A piece of ass. A P of ass.
POA.
Brigitte.
Mm-hmm.
Is that her? Brigitte Hochtal.
Really? Is she hot?
Oh, I watched her video constantly, and Rob and I spent hours going to the Big Mouse record store.
Right.
Their version of Best Buy.
Yeah.
Except it was just a big, giant, yellow mouse.
Uh-huh.
And I would ask everybody, Brigitte, and they'd go, oh, yeah. I go, where's her record? And they'd point me to their version of Now That's What I Call Music.
Right.
At like a
compilation.
Greatest Hits.
Yeah.
I think.
I couldn't find the Iceland version of her song, and when I got home last night, I did a search on the web, and I found out that she was the winner of the equivalent of American Idol.
Oh, really?
In Iceland, and she's just a piece of ass with big owl eyes.
Right.
And it's like better than Britney Spears, but that's the genre of music.
Same kind
of
outfits and stuff like that?
That it is, yeah. And the other thing about the music over there on the radio stations, it's all bad disco remakes of United States hits, like The Boys of Summer by Don Henley.
I heard that one.
You remember that song? I can see you.
What was another one we heard?
Your blind skin lying in the sun.
We were all in the car together, and it was an older disco song. I mean, I forgot what it was.
That's like their whole...
Donna Summer. There was a Donna Summer remake that they did.
Everything is disco over there.
Yeah.
But I bought two CDs, although, listen... Right over here.
I'll tell you one thing. As far as the cleanliness of the country, they are unbelievably clean over there.
Let's talk about, right now, I bet you know the answer, Mike. But Buzz, do you know the answer? How many Elvis CDs Rob bought over there?
No, I do not know the answer. I'm going to guess 8.
Pretty close.
If you count the double disc sets as two discs,
right?
The answer is 11.
11!
Wow.
11.
Bringing your total collection to?
Oh, man, like 183, 184. I'd have to do another count. I was in the 170s last time
right.
I checked.
There was one we found.
Great.
This one, a German one,
mm-hmm.
That had Elvis, and all the writing was in German, but then there was a little sticker on the front of the album in English that said, contains laughing version of Are You Lonesome Tonight?
Which is the fat version that he stumbles all.
Yeah, that thing where he's all effed up.
And in the back, it's entirely in German. It says, Are You Lonesome Tonight? Der Lock version.
Jawohl.
So anyway, Rob was happy.
Sure.
It was very cool to check out. I spent a lot of time in record stores. That was fun. You know that Pink Floyd is still like number 3 over there.
Number
Pink
2,
Floyd
Rob.
Is oh, number
huge.
2.
Dark Side of the Moon is the Dark Side of the Moon is the number 2 album.
They have they have their top 20 on a wall in some of the record stores over there.
And I made a real bad spur of the moment purchase.
What do you
I like to think that I bought sensibly. I bought my wife some stuff for Mother's Day. I bought my kid some Adidas stuff, the European looking, and I didn't buy anything for myself except these shoes.
Well, those are cool shoes.
I still like them.
Red, white, and blue. Very American.
These are the gayest shoes I've ever seen in my life.
Take a look at them, Mike.
These are gay Reeboks, kind of. Watch out. Be careful.
Yeah, don't right. fall. He's up on the counter.
Are those the ones you showed me yesterday?
Show us your shoes.
Yeah, there they are. You know what makes them? They'd be fine. It's the flat sole that that looks kind of funky on them.
I realize I'm not going to be able to wear them with anything except jeans.
Right.
Yeah. Because they don't go, because they're white, but they have like this gay blue flap on them.
That's American blue, though.
And then they have a big red, like, swoosh thing on the side.
You're not limited to jeans. You could wear them with your Uncle Sam outfit.
The shoes over there, I got the impression that certain shoemakers like Echo, you know, we get a lot of that brand over here, we will be getting those, like, in Christmas.
My wife, I think you're
that's
right.
The impression I got.
My wife said to me today, when I got up and got dressed to go down and do my treadmill stuff, she said, I forgot what a handsome man you are, because I had on green Packer shorts, just a gray T-shirt, green Packer socks,
right,
and these hideous, mainly blue, but red, white, and blue Reeboks.
Right.
She said, I forgot how really handsome
you
are.
Did you slip into your Seahawks Hawaiian shirt at that point? Or
after that I did.
Those shoes go with the Seahawks shirt.
That's why I'm wearing the shirt.
It's kind of a good ensemble.
That's why I'm wearing it. I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. I'm in desperate need of a pair of plain white Reeboks.
And do you like my T-shirt that I'm wearing today?
Blue Lagoon.
The Blue Lagoon.
Brown Lagoon.
In the West.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Howdy, we're doing great.
Oh, that's awesome. Hey, I just wanted to call and thank you guys for sharing your trip with us, because for me, someone who can't go to Iceland, makes us feel like we went because we were able to share your trip.
Wow.
That's nice.
I thought that was wonderful.
Appreciate
that. Listen, let me tell you something, and I'm so glad. This was not a setup call, was it?
No.
Okay,
I was listening to the show and I called.
Because now we're going to give you, actually you're going to have your choice here, to win either a trip to Iceland, courtesy of Iceland Air, or $500 in cash. Now, we weren't here on Friday. I think we explained that on Monday because, you know, Iceland is, they got the nutty time, and they got the flight that leaves at night, and there was traffic and
rain. And
you're blaming Iceland on the problem. Friday, the problem was the fact that here in our beloved United States, everybody started leaving at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
But if Iceland's,
I'm blaming America on that one.
Hey,
I'm sorry.
Hey,
I'm blaming America.
Back in the '50s, they had a word for guys like you, the commies.
You McCarthyite.
Hey, don't be talking bad about my man Joe.
Tail Gunner Joe McCarthy.
Joe McCarthy.
Right.
He built good roads.
Let me rephrase it then. It was the everybody leaving early because of Iceland.
No. Here's the deal. We have $500 that we were supposed to give away on Friday, or we have a trip to Iceland, courtesy of Iceland Air, coolest airline crossing the Atlantic.
Yeah.
You'll get your chance to win. Now, Mike and I had a bit planned for Friday that we were not able to get to. You know, in Jeopardy, every Friday, Mike does one of his great bits.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought for Friday it would be great to bring back Tony Soprano's mother, Olivia Soprano.
Yeah. The late Nancy Marchand.
She's dead.
Yeah.
Now, we didn't get a chance to do that bit. That was going to be our Mother's Day bit.
Uh-huh.
However, Nancy Marchand will be joining us in the studio in the next break.
She's actually out there on a gurney.
And all you have to do is make Tony Soprano's mother laugh.
Not an easy task at all.
No, today?
Not an easy. If anyone can, I'll be amazed.
I think you're going to be an easier laugh today because you're punchy and
goofy type.
Who?
You.
Well, I might be dumb, but Nancy won't.
Listen, call right now at 877-365-3636. You know how this works. We take unsolicited, unscreened telephone calls, and all you have to do is make Tony Soprano's mom.
Oh, for you.
Make her laugh.
Oh.
And you'll win your choice of either $500 from Cinemax.
F you all.
Or a trip to Iceland.
Wow.
And I mean, I'm not beyond saying if it's the best laugh off ever,
right,
you'll win both. But
wow.
I'm thinking, knowing our audience, you'll have your choice of one or the other.
Excellent.
So call right now at 877-365-3636. Your choice, $500 from Cinemax or trip to Iceland from Iceland Air with Tony Soprano's dead mother.
Take me, Lord.
Because we were not able to do this bit on Mother's Day. We'll be right back.
This
is the Don and Mike Show.
I miss you. Yeah, you should. You never come see me.
I've been busy.
Everybody's busy. And don't lie to me. I know your father forbids you coming down here.
He doesn't, honest. He just doesn't want us to talk about you in the house.
Well, you can go shit in his hat. Oh, I shouldn't use that kind of talk. Don't let me ever catch you talking that way.
The Don and Mike Show.
I have the cough button turned on. It's now 4:18. On the East Coast.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
You know, all you people out there.
I'm a something covered in your way.
Hey, guess what? It's the Don and Mike Show.
See, you would have been pissed if we weren't here today.
Mm-hmm.
But look, listen to what you're getting. Listen to this. This is like the worst show we've ever done.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Really, it is. The only thing that's going to save this show.
I need a timpani, Rob.
That'll save it?
Yeah.
Want a long one or a shorter one?
This is a short one.
All right.
Dean Dewes.
Let me get my wife on the phone. And then we're going to get right to make Tony Soprano's mom laugh.
Livia.
Won't take long.
Livia Soprano, right.
My wife went to a radio reunion over the weekend for an old decrepit radio station. I'm not going to ask her about that. Baby.
Hi, boo-boo.
I'm goofy tired. I'm afraid the show's out of control today.
I'm so glad you're home, though.
I know, and I mentioned that, how nice you were.
You did.
Hey, baby?
Yeah.
I got a lot of things that I want to discuss with you. I don't have time today. Tomorrow I want to talk about the Wash FM reunion.
Okay.
I think we should start talking about ENS. Empty
about,
nest.
What? All right. But, okay, we'll discuss the parameters tonight.
Okay, empty nest syndrome. But, honey.
Yeah.
Listen to me right now. I want to say something that's going to change the entire tone of today's show. Manassas, Manassas, Manassas. This is Radio's Don Geronimo inviting you to join Rob Spiewak and I this Friday night at Brady's in Manassas for the return of Mike O'Mara and the Crap Blues Band. Rob and I will be there early to get our special booth. That's Friday night at Brady's in Manassas.
That's the special thing you wanted to tell your wife?
Yeah.
Very good.
Well, I'm running out of ways to
I know.
To throw your ad in.
Yeah, I can't even begin to tell you how much I appreciate the way that you shake it up.
So, honey, there you go.
I do. I have to think about this. If I have empty nest and next year I need a job, maybe I could be in crap.
And my,
you are more than welcome to join crap, Frida.
Honey, you're married to me. You're in crap 24 hours a day. And Mike, I know you do a beautiful job of handwriting these.
But I'm tired. What did I screw up?
It should be Rob and me, not Rob and I. Because remember, you take it,
you're right.
What you learned in school,
right.
You take the Rob part out, you'd say, join me, you wouldn't say, join I.
Right.
But who am I?
But you know what? That's the jet lag. I wouldn't have made that grammatical error.
Who is me to tell you that? All right, are you there?
It doesn't sound like it.
Well, I'm assuming she went through a bad cell because she's crazy in love with me right now. Because
she sounded like she was really glad to have you back.
She is.
She's off to buy a tambourine.
There you go.
you already identified the instrument she'll be playing.
In the West. Come on in now. Let's bring in Tony Soprano's mother.
Oh, take me, Lord.
Hey, you're dead.
Who are you?
I'm Don. Remember, you were supposed to be on our show Friday, but we ended up having...
I don't know you.
We had a travel day Friday, and we had a hard time getting out of town.
You can go S in your hat.
Now,
how come I haven't been on the show? It's because I'm dead.
Yes, absolutely.
Isn't that what it is?
You're dead.
Take me, Lord. I don't know you.
Hold on, I gotta tell
you. I don't know any of you.
Tell me who this...
Who are you?
Listen to this tape and tell me who this is.
Oh.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Who's that? That's my bastard son.
Yes.
He doesn't come to see me.
Well, where's he?
He doesn't. What do you think of that, Mr. Fancy Travel Boy?
Where's...
Oh, poor you.
Where's he?
With your trips.
Where's he going to come see you? I guess in the
he
cemetery.
He doesn't come and see me in the cemetery.
In the ground.
He doesn't want to see me because I'm underground. Because I'm beetle food.
Rob?
Because the worms are eating my eyes.
Give me 10 minutes on the clock.
10 minutes, what are you doing?
Here we go.
Well, now, here's the premise.
What are you going to do to me?
Here's the premise, Mr.
How
Soprano.
Come you never come and see me?
Well, we wanted to have you on the show Friday for
Mother's
Day.
You don't like me because I'm dead.
Now, I love
you
because you're
dead. That's the problem with you.
I love you.
Poor Mr. Fancy Shirt.
Okay, here we go.
Mr. Fancy Shirt.
10 minutes on the clock on my mark.
It'll start with the first call.
And all you got to do is be yourself, and if anybody...
I'll be myself. You worry about yourself.
Okay, here we go.
I'm fine.
Make Tony Soprano's dead mother laugh.
I don't know any of you.
You want a trip to Iceland or $500?
I don't
want to
laugh. I'm dead.
Okay. Come on, someone's going to make you laugh. Hello.
I doubt it.
Hi, Olivia. Hi, Don.
Make Olivia laugh.
Hello.
All right. Did you read the book about Frank and Kathy Lee Gifford?
What book?
It's called The Old Man and the Sea.
That's not funny.
Hello, Don
you
and Mike.
You can go straight to hell.
Hello, baby.
Hi, Mom. Mama, I went to a wedding the other day. Two satellite dishes got married. The ceremony was boring, but the reception was fantastic.
That's not funny either. Oh, there's you, Mr. Bighead. You're laughing at anything. Oh, poor you.
Hello, Don and Mike. Make Tony Soprano's mom laugh.
I'm so dead.
Well, hi. Do you know how to eat a frog?
How do you eat a frog?
One leg over each ear, of course.
Is that something dirty?
Yeah, sexual.
I don't like the dirty talk. That's something about sex.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yes, what do you call a fag? What flavor is a fag on Coke?
I'm sorry, you're disqualified for stumbling.
Hello, make Tony's mom laugh.
Hello.
Yes, huh?
Hello?
Yes.
How come none of your listeners are greeting me properly?
Say mama, hello. What are the...
No, excuse me. I am not your mama. You address me as Mrs. Soprano.
Mrs. Soprano.
Thank you. Now tell me a stupid joke.
I'd like to tell you about this girl I was dating last year.
Go ahead.
I took her up to Bar Harbor, Maine, because it's funny you brought that up earlier.
Yeah.
I took her up to Bar Harbor, Maine, and we're going through the woods, and it was pretty dark, and she's a little young, and she was telling me how scared she was.
Is there an end to the story? This is kind of a fast-moving segment.
Okay, and then I just let her know, you know, if you think you're scared, how do you think I feel? I got to walk back alone.
Oh, so you get it because he was going to kill her. Hello, Don and Mike.
That's not funny.
Hi, Mrs. Soprano.
A young girl's not funny.
Hello.
Hi, Mrs. Soprano.
Hello there. Hold on a second. Who are you with your sick listeners that think I'm going to laugh at something like that?
Hello.
What are you doing to me? Who the hell are you? Hello. I think
hi.
I should go the other way.
Hello, you're on the air. Oh, you must have just seen one of our beautiful employees walking down the hall.
I believe so. I think I'm going to flip.
What was her name?
Rhea. How are you? That's very good.
Do you think Rhea knows how hot Mike is for her?
I think so. She's not stupid. Everybody knows.
Hey, you're on the air.
Go ahead.
Hi, Mrs. Soprano. Why does a man hold a woman's head when she's giving him a BJ?
Why?
To keep from applauding.
What?
Keep from what?
To keep from applauding.
You screwed up the punchline.
Hello, make...
Go back and work on it.
Make Ma Soprano laugh. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Mr. Soprano.
Yes, I'm here. Go ahead.
Hey.
I was going to say, call me Livia. I like the sound of his voice.
Livia.
Hey, Olivia. It's Emerson. How are you?
What's your name?
Emerson.
Emerson. What kind of name is that? Is that your first name or your last name?
That's my first name.
What's the joke?
No, that's not the joke.
What? Oh, you goddamn joke, or I'll slap you.
Did you put down that umbrella?
I'm holding it with my skeletal hand.
What do you want to say?
All this kids beneath it.
Make Mrs. Soprano laugh.
You.
Hey, how did Helen Keller's parents punish her?
I don't know. How did Helen Keller's parents punish her?
They left the plunger in the toilet.
That's an old joke, and I'm not going to laugh. But Mr. Smarty Shirt is... He's chuckling away.
I'm getting a visual on it.
Oh,
hello.
Geez, I'm so hungry.
Make Olivia laugh.
Yeah, what's better than winning a gold medal at the Special Olympics?
What's better than winning a gold medal at the Special Olympics?
Not being retarded.
That's old. They've had that before.
Come on,
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to laugh at your sick joke making fun of people less fortunate than you.
Joe.
There's two boys in here that think it's funny. They do that.
Hello.
Sick bastards.
Make Olivia laugh.
What does... Are we allowed to even
it's
say that?
Her place. What does an 80-year-old woman's place taste like?
It depends.
He didn't tell it right. You just say depends.
Right.
You don't say that depends. You stupid little dink.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Wow.
Make Olivia laugh.
Wow, you. Wow yourself,
I'm
Mr.
Sorry.
Curly
I
Hair.
Make no disrespect.
With your two tight pants. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead. You're on the air. Oh.
We're almost halfway through.
Halfway, schmaffway.
Come on, go.
Oh, is it me?
Ah, you're out. Anybody
is it,
say,
me?
How stupid
can you be?
Hello,
on the radio?
Hello.
God damn it.
Good afternoon, Ms. Soprano.
Shut up.
Make her laugh.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Yutha.
Yutha who?
Yutha. Mike was going to get laid this weekend.
That's not funny, and Mike's angry at you.
Mike, make Mrs. Soprano laugh.
Olivia.
I would like to be... I am not your best friend.
Just go. Just say it.
This is Soprano. Why is Monica Lewinsky voting Republican in the 2004 presidential election?
I don't know. Why?
The Democrats left a bad taste in her mouth.
Oh, that's old.
Hello, make Olivia laugh.
Hello, Mrs. Soprano.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Do you think that Don and Mike thought Iceland was actually Niceland?
That's not funny.
Hello, Don. It wasn't funny like the million times we said it on the show either.
That's for sure.
Hello.
Yes, Mr. Soprano. You know what I do when I'm laying in bed with a girl and I got a fart and we're both under the covers?
How about I answer you? When you're telling a joke, you wait for a response. You don't steamroll right through it. You're a very impolite young man.
I'm sorry.
All right.
When I'm laying in bed with a girl and I got a fart really bad and we're both under the covers, you know, with her head just sticking out, I spread my butt cheeks wide open so it doesn't make any noise.
Oh, thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
I've done the same thing for years.
Hello, Dynamite.
That's no secret. I do it in my kitchen.
Make a little
How do you
laugh.
Think I started that fire?
Hello.
What happens when a gypsy midget escapes from prison?
I don't know. What happens when a gypsy midget escapes from prison?
You have a small, medium, and large.
Oh, that's not funny. Hey, he thought so. Mr. Floral Print, he's laughing his ass off over
I'm
here.
I'm tired. Hi, Don and Mike. Make Olivia laugh.
Hello, Olivia.
Call me
Hello.
Mrs. Soprano.
That's my fault. I'm sorry.
Mrs. Soprano.
Yes? Hello.
Yes,
How are you?
Hello.
How are you? Go ahead, you have a joke for me?
Go!
Come on.
Yeah.
Tell me.
My girl usually,
I'm sorry, disqualify him. He's a mumbling, bumbling, stumbling ass. He's a pure ass.
Make Olivia laugh.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Well, hello.
Oh. Hello.
What is your name?
Hi, Olivia. I'm Mrs. Soprano. I'm an older woman like yourself, and I'm going through the change and went to my doctor.
You're an older woman's?
Yeah.
Why'd you put an S on the end of it?
Oh, well, yeah. I'm sorry, but, you know, I'm going
you
through the change.
You should be sorry, you untalented wench.
Come on, what would you like to say?
I'd like to say that I'm going through the change, and I went to my doctor because he put me on these hormones, and I said, Doctor, I'm growing hair in some strange places, and he said, well, that's not so unusual, and I said, but I'm growing it on my...
Knowing that old ladies have testicles.
Oh, make Tony's mom laugh.
Dear Michael, Merritt's going to start drinking water when he goes out. Yeah, he's going to be the only sober guy crying in the bar.
Now we're down to the two-minute warning on this speaker.
Well, I'm very disappointed
Hello.
In you particularly.
Don't point your umbrella at me, old lady.
And your friend.
Hello, make Olivia laugh.
And him, too.
Make
too.
Olivia laugh.
Mrs. Soprano.
Hello. How are you?
I'm fine. How are
Come
you?
On, say it, dummy.
What's the difference between pink and purple?
What is the difference between pink and purple?
The grip.
The grip. Not funny.
It was on the
I'm
side.
Sorry. Well, everything is this. Oh, you're a couple of hateful young boys.
It's funny over here.
The Hello. Dark side. You've crossed yourself over to the dark side.
Make Mrs. Kent, you got it. They're going to dump that. You just have to say oral and anal.
What's the difference between oral and anal?
What?
Oral will make your whole day, while anal will make your whole week.
That almost got you, old lady.
I like anal jokes. I do. There's a tip for your listening audience. Bring on the anal. The more anal, the better for Olivia.
Big Olivia Soprano laugh.
What's the difference between a priest and a pimple?
I've heard it before. It's ancient. Go ahead. Well, you can't say that. No, they're going to hit the lead on too. That, too.
Hello, well.
Oh, take me, Lord.
Now, hold on. We must pause because we are out of delay.
Oh, dear.
Take me, Lord.
Apparently, everybody in the building hit the button on that last joke about the priest and the pimple.
That's because he talked about number three.
Yeah.
And what happens when a man has a man reaction. You know, there was a day when I'd have that happen just by walking down the street.
Really, when was that?
Men couldn't help but spray themselves.
When you went by the Roman Colosseum?
Absolutely. Back in the day when I was dating that fabulous, unbelievably good-looking leader, Caligula.
Hello, Don and Mike, you're on the air.
Oh, you can't kill a buzzard with a spoon. You can't kill a buzzard with a spoon.
That's not funny.
Good for you. I'm glad you didn't laugh at that.
I smiled.
Hi, though. Make Olivia laugh.
Hello.
Hello.
You're on the air.
This is Soprano.
This is Soprano.
Come on. We've established that.
For the longest time.
Your time's up. You blew it.
For the longest time, no, I never really realized I had a penis.
You're not allowed to tell your joke. The buzzer went off.
Okay.
Yeah, lousy little ass.
One more minute.
No, it's like you do another break.
Oh, that's what you want.
Do what?
Do another break.
That's because you're a cruel young man.
Another
you're
break.
A very cruel young man.
You know, I want to do Craig Wilson, though.
You'll and get then, we winner,
get,
though.
Then we got a guest coming up. Well, we might have to postpone this to later in today's show if you could come back.
There's not a chance in hell if you want me. You're going to have to pay me.
You'll
pay me.
I'll give you a bag of dirt.
A bag of dirt fresh?
A bag of fresh dirt.
Because most of mine has insect droppings in it.
A bag of fresh dirt.
They swarm around my head.
And then if we get a winner in the next hour, whenever we do it, you'll win $500 from Cinemax and a trip to Iceland from Iceland Air.
When do you need to send me again?
About an hour.
All right, you're lying. Like you always lie.
No, listen.
All men lie.
No, I want to do a bit and ask this Craig Wilson thing, and then we got these guys coming on the show.
He's a fake.
Who wrote this book called The A-Hole's Guide to Handling Chicks.
The A-Hole's Guide. You want that? Look in a mirror, Charlie Chan.
Okay.
I got it for you. So I'm going to come back and see you?
Yeah, you'll come back later in the show.
I'll wear something sexy.
Mm.
Ah,
something sexy what you're wearing now, which is just your bones?
I've actually got other pieces of cloth hanging off my bones.
Don't see any.
Look at my scalp. Yeah, make him laugh.
Mr. Soprano.
Make me laugh. None of you can. You're all gay.
All right. See you later.
F you.
Bye-bye. Well, folks, the good news is we'll roll over.
Yay.
Until later in the show.
Wow.
She'll be back.
She's not a pleasant woman,
we
no.
We got a trip to Iceland to give away, and we got money to give
I'm
away.
I'm an Icelandic cowboy in the west.
But we do have a good Craig Wilson today that I think you're going to like.
Very good.
We're taking some license with it today. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Listen, my friend. I am a supporter of the gay community. I wore a red ribbon to the Emmys. I have been to several Elton John concerts.
What does that mean?
Elton John is a gay.
The Don and Mike Show.
This is Scott Thompson saying Don and Mike are a gay.
Circumcised and damn proud of it. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, now listen, you know, we didn't have the secret sound today because we're just so jammed up. But we got a lot of stuff to give away. I'll take the first caller right now. I'll ask you a question about something that happened earlier in the show. I think it's pretty easy.
Very good.
And if you answer, you'll win
third row seats, among other stuff, for WWE's Up Close and Uncensored.
Yeah, brother.
Here in D.C., MCI Center, Saturday, June 21. 25 of favorite WWE superstars. Tickets go on sale Saturday at 10 a.m.
Good.
Oh, hold on. I see we have fifth, fourth, and third.
Ooh.
Well, I guess you're going to get fifth row. Or maybe you'll get third. I said third. You get third row tickets.
There you go. Well, maybe you could have fifth row tickets and talk to the person in the third row.
There you go. Let's see. All you had to do was just be listening to the show. Boy, is everybody just answering? I don't want caller 100. I just want the first caller. Here you go, right here. Hi, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Yeah.
Have you been listening to the whole show today?
I missed the very beginning.
Right. You're out then. All right. Bye-bye. Where were you? Come on, we came in to do a show today, for God's sakes. Hello, Don and Mike. Have you been listening to the whole show?
Here
we go. Yeah.
Yeah, turn your radio down, honey.
I'm sorry?
Turn it down, honey.
Come on,
thank
honey.
You.
Exactly. Can you tell me when we arrived in America what I did when we arrived in Baltimore last night?
You kissed the tarmac.
There you go.
That's it.
That's all I needed to hear.
Beautiful.
Enjoy your... what's your name, please?
Kathy.
Kathy, you've got... I hope you're from the D.C. area.
I am. I live in Harpers Ferry, West Virginia.
There you go, on WJFK. You got third row tickets to the WWE Up Close and Uncensored MCI Center. Plus, you won the Jackass Movie Prize Pack with a free large pizza from Papa John's. That's great pizza. Get it on pay-per-view, won AAA Comcast in order today. But wait, there's more. You've also won, now listen, who's not going to want this? An autographed script of an episode of According to Jim.
No.
Hello.
We're not giving that away, are we?
Hello,
eBay.
Tonight on ABC, it's the season finale of George Lopez.
No.
Even though we're giving away an autographed script to the Jim Belushi show.
Why couldn't we get an autographed script from George Lopez?
We have an audio transcript of a highlight from tonight's According to Jim.
Oh, good.
Can we roll that, please?
That's what they're looking for.
But as you can hear, the last... No, I'm kidding.
Of course.
Here's the real clip from... it's either According to Jim or George Lopez, supplied by ABC. Anyway, listen, the autograph script for According to Jim tonight on ABC, season finale of George Lopez. Find out what happens when George finally comes face to face with the dad who abandoned him. The moment of truth tonight on ABC.
Mm-hmm. Here's Jim Belushi singing a great old Icelandic song.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Hold on just a second. We got more WWE tickets to give away later today. I guess fifth row and fourth row today, as a matter of fact.
Yes.
And plus the trip to Iceland.
What's like?
I can relate.
You don't know how much tape we got on this dude. You don't know how many hours of tape we have on this guy. Plus the $500 courtesy of Cinemax. Cinemax, the ultimate in movie entertainment. Exclusive Hollywood premieres, the biggest hit movie variety, and the fewest repeats. For information, go to Cinemax.com. Now we got the guys coming on the just on the telephone today. The guys who wrote, Buzz, I need a plate.
Here, use mine.
I need a plate.
That was a lot of commercial reading you just said.
Yes, it was.
Oh, there it is. He's vomiting.
We got a furball.
There you go. That's how you do it.
Yeah, that's a little jet lag phlegm, isn't it?
That's how you do it.
It's my favorite right here.
Oh, shut up, you Chuck Norris lookalike. Lots of stuff to do. The guys who wrote The A-Hole's Guide to Handling Chicks coming on the show. Mm-hmm. Now, it's Wednesday, and we all know what that means. Craig Wilson Day.
Yeah.
Robbie and I were reading the column before the show, and he writes about his dog, and he writes about shoes, but frankly, it's just not strong enough. However, if you take the word shoe,
okay,
which is written about a lot in this column today, and substitute the word ball, I believe you'll all be able to share the joy that is Craig Wilson.
Very, very good.
And once again, this was we can't take credit for this. I love taking credit for the ideas on this show, but this was one that, from you guys. Somebody called and said, just put a different word in. So we're doing that now to augment Craig Wilson.
And now, from today, VUFA Today, the final word, Craig Wilson.
Egg mystery. Is the ball on the other foot?
I was in Miami last week, chatting with the folks at the International Association of Convention and Visitor Bureaus, IACVB, if you're into initials. At dinner one night, Mike Garish, the group's president, leaned behind the woman sitting between us, tapped me on the shoulder and said, I've got a great column idea for you.
Over the years, I've come up with a pat answer for when this happens.
I'll put it on the list, I always reply. It's non-committal, it's polite, and on occasion, it's even true. What surprised me about Mike's offering, however, was that his idea was already on my list, and had been for some time. I wasn't sure anyone would understand it but me. Now I know.
I'm not alone. You go.
You'll never come again. I think, I'm sorry, I get it the last second. I think you should write about the single ball situation. I said, he said.
I started to laugh. There I was all these years, thinking I was the only one. No, this phenomenon. This guy had traveled the world and was now validating my observation. Mike and I bonded for the ages.
Walking my dog, Murphy, in the morning, at least twice a week, I'll turn the corner, and there on the sidewalk is a ball. Not a pair of balls, taken off in haste and left behind. A solitary ball. A lost ball. It can be any variety. A sneaker, a track ball, a high-heeled ball, a wingtip, or a Basswegian ball. Yeah, that's the only place where you got a little funky.
It's not just on sidewalks, either. This phenomenon manifests itself on freeways, too. Look if you drive home from work today. Bill Bennett and I will bet you'll see a ball. One lonely ball there on the side of the road. Silently awaiting its mate.
Since I've studied this phenomenon for years, I have a few theories.
The most obvious, of course, is that the evening celebration went on a little too long.
And in the course of venturing home, a ball was lost.
That theory is fine until you think about it. I can see you losing your purse, your wallet, your car keys, even your mind on occasion. But wouldn't you notice a missing ball rather quickly? Especially one with a 5-inch heel.
Hold on.
We're in the middle of it.
Hold on, we got to reset.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
It's goofy.
Oh.
We've substituted one word for another, and back to the final word.
Craig Wilson. There should be an award for the gal who can keep right on trucking, balancing on but a lonely ball.
As for the roadside ball, I can only assume they get tossed into the roadways. Road rage. Or worse, family feuds, in which balls are flung past drivers' heads and out open windows, never to be retrieved.
Mike and I agree, this all makes one wonder. Where are all the people wearing the other ball?
Trying to forget. Not once, for instance, have I ever stood in line at Starbucks, looked down, and see the guy in front of me wearing one ball.
When I'm out running on my lunch hour, not once have I watched in awe as a fellow runner sprints towards me, sporting a solitary ball.
And when I go out for the evening and the night is wearing on and the party's getting rowdier, never have I looked over and seen a woman standing at the bar teetering on one ball. Her other ball left dangling above the floor.
That part makes no sense.
I know, but
then again, maybe it's just the Mike and me thing. Two guys always waiting for the other ball to drop.
Well, there you go. That's Craig Wilson today.
The final word by Craig Wilson, ladies and gentlemen.
See, when he's just not good, we take a word. That was a listener suggestion, and we substitute a word.
And, of course, for you geniuses that have already figured it out, it was shoe, of course.
It was not gay enough.
You had the one, though. You had the one.
Yeah.
Because you had dangling ball. Teetering on one ball, her other ball.
Dangling her other ball.
I also like the roadside ball.
I can only assume they get tossed out in fits of road rage. There were family feuds in which balls are flung past drivers' heads and out open windows, never to be retrieved.
I think you should write about the single ball situation.
Mooney ball.
Yeah, it's got to be spiced up. But, you know, whoever gave us that idea, it works.
It does work. One lonely ball on the side of the road, silently awaiting its mate.
Oh, man.
That's good. And ball worked better than testicle, too.
What's the line on the second page about the runner coming towards him?
When I'm out running on my lunch hour, not once I watch in awe as a fellow runner sprints toward me, sporting a solitary ball. Sporting is always a good word.
Yeah. Not once have I stood in line in Starbucks, looked down, and see the guy in front of me wearing one ball.
It's stupid, but it works.
It does. Oh, goddamn.
Thank you, Craig.
That's good. Yeah, Craig, you know, forget our other voicemail message, too.
Right, exactly.
It don't matter.
It works.
Carry Whatever on. You write, we're going to go with, dude.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and we're not limited to everything that has to do with the male appendage. You know, you can actually throw in all sorts of other words.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But ball work.
Ball work.
Exactly. Dangling balls and...
Dangling.
Balls being thrown out the windows.
Sporting a single ball.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don, Mike, that was hilarious.
Yeah, you know, it's we're so lucky that whoever that listener is called in and said, why don't we just use another word.
Didn't he say penis, wasn't it, that day?
Yeah.
And who knows, we could go back to that sometime.
Sure. Just as you guys finished, I'm riding down the highway. I want you to know there's some construction worker somewhere with a single ball.
You know, penis, thank you, my friend. Penis wouldn't have worked there. You should write about the single penis situation.
Yeah, right, because, I mean, that's what they are.
Although it still would have been funny. As for the roadside penis, I can only assume they get tossed in fits of road rage. Or family feuds in which penises are flung past drivers' heads. Oh, God damn.
Hello, Gregory.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Howdy.
Howdy.
Hey, you guys did a kick-ass job. I read that this morning, and I just couldn't figure out how you're going to make it work. But
yeah, that's good. That's him. That should be the challenge now.
You know.
And that's exactly the exercise that Rob and I go through. We get online. It's a race to see who's going to get it first.
Right.
Because a lot of times, I think too much that everybody's against us. But, Rob, how many times have we logged on, and I'll call Rob and say, I get everything in USAtoday.com. Except Craig Wilson's column. Like
they're blocking you or something like that?
Somehow they're blocking out my computer. Right. So I'll say to Rob, try on your computer. And for whatever reason, a lot of times his column is not available online until much later in the day.
It's a conspiracy.
But today was the day that we chatted, and it was like, you know, well, what do you think? I don't know. It's not that good. Well, he does mention his dog. And he does mention his shoe. Mm-hmm. How about balls?
Balls.
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 Yeah. Balls. Balls. I am so mad at you in the family vehicle. I'm going to throw my ball right out the window.
Look, it went whisking by my face.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Sporting.
Hello.
Hey, hello.
Hey, that was almost as funny as that new HBO reality series. Did you see it?
No. Are we?
Icelandic bus drivers gone wild in Massachusetts.
What are you talking about? Hold on. What are you doing? You're on a real different riff here, man.
He's doing a thing about the tour guide, Icelandic.
Yeah, you're tour guide with the gay experience, you know.
Oh, this guy, right?
I'm an Icelandic couple.
Yeah, the guy, you know, with the experience in Massachusetts.
He meant to refer to the Showtime series, The Red Ball Diaries.
Oh, but he said HBO.
Yeah.
Right. See, I get
meant to refer to your tour guide, and he called him a bus driver.
Yeah. If it was Red Shoe Diary,
and if it was
Red
Ball Diary,
and if it was your Icelandic glacier tour operator as opposed to Icelandic bus driver.
Right.
Well, yeah.
You
got me confused with the HBO thing.
Sorry about that.
Well, I'd like to take one of my balls off right now and just hit you over the head with it.
Yeah, but then you'd be sporting one.
One ball.
You'd be left dangling.
It'd be a great song by Elvis, though. Don't you step on the blue suede balls.
Balls in for all shoes.
I got blue suede balls. I got blue suede balls. Anyway.
I thought
I hung up on you. Mm. And imagine if they played football with balls.
Yeah, it'd be extraordinarily painful for somebody.
Sure. For the kicker. Oh, Rob, what do you got here?
Well, it's 1:40 morning, 2:44, 3:20.
That sounds like your Icelandic glacier guy.
Step on my blue suede shoes. You can know where it's
at. That was, when you play that, that's the Swedish Elvis, right?
Yeah, right.
I'm an Icelandic cowboy.
Okay, all right. They all seem to like to sing.
Last call here. Don and Mike, hello.
Hey, Nick, do either of you recall the stewardesses on the opening episode of The Sopranos last night?
Who's Nick?
The person who's calling you. Do you recall
Sopranos? Hold on. Let me just do a quick reset.
Yeah.
Dude, excuse me. I think it was on the Don and Mike show you said, Nick, do you remember?
So is that how you were saying your name?
No, I said, hello, it's Nick.
Oh, so we just had the hello part cut off.
Hey, Nick.
We didn't. Oh, is that what he said?
He said,
Nick.
Hey, Nick.
Yeah. Do you all recall the opening episode of The Sopranos last year?
We are really stuck on this thing with your name.
Yeah. And it's one of those days like where we have jet lag and we're going to take something like this and analyze it, because otherwise we won't feel good about ourselves.
Do you all recall the opening episode of The Sopranos?
Hold on. Rob, we need to rewind the tape.
I don't think. Yeah. I think he's lying. About hello, this is Nick.
He is. No,
he
said, hey, Nick.
We're going to find out. Rob's got the tape. We're going to. Are you still there?
I'm still here.
You're about to hear it.
This is important. I know people might think it's not, but it is.
It was so odd, his greeting.
Now, maybe we were wrong. Who knows? The tape will show.
Mm-hmm. It was like, oh, this is Nick.
Number two. Here we go.
Icelandic glacier guy.
This was moments ago.
When you play that, that's the Swedish Elvis, right?
Yeah, right.
I'm an Icelandic cowboy.
Okay, all right. They all seem to like to sing.
Last call here. Don and Mike, hello.
Hey, Nick, do either of you recall...
Yeah.
Did you hear?
And now he's gone.
Just hung up,
bastard.
You douche!
Well, see, it was him that made himself ununderstandable.
2-0-2.
It sounded as though he was addressing himself.
Get it, Rob.
Hey, Nick, did you see the...
Mm-hmm. Just like that.
That's why we were confused.
We all heard the same thing.
And we were both confused at the same time, and then it was like, stop.
Robbie's getting his number. Let's listen to it again.
But that was, when you play that, that's the Swedish Elvis, right?
Yeah, right.
I'm an Icelandic cowboy.
They all seem to like to sing.
Last call here. Don and Mike, hello.
Hey, Nick, do either of you recall the stewardesses?
See, it's like, hey, Nick.
It wasn't, hello, this is Nick.
No, and
he lied about that.
Yes, he did.
And a lot of times people will call and just go, hey, Don, do either of you guys, or
right.
Hey, Mike, did either of you guys?
Mm-hmm. And that's why we were confused, and that's why we felt it was necessary to ask.
We're all looking around the room for Nick.
Right.
Where's Nick?
Hey, Nick.
And then he hung up.
He got his number. Great. Let me call him back.
Because all he wanted to do was his little agenda.
Right. About an episode of The Sopranos.
And it could have been easy. I don't know why I said that.
Months and months ago.
The Sopranos isn't even on.
Exactly. He's calling about something months ago. We didn't need a bigger plate.
It's off the air. Hey, dumbass.
Nick.
Hey, Nick. Hey, Nick. Hey, robo-pussy. Listen, Rob, rewind that, will you, a little bit?
Sure.
Just listen to this. This is why we were so confused by your exciting call about The Sopranos. And just know you did this.
Mm-hmm.
You did this.
You're gone. Right to sing.
last call here. Don and Mike, hello.
Hey, Nick, do either of you recall the stewardesses on...
Hey, yeah, Nick, do you recall when you called the show and said, hey, Nick?
It sounded like you were talking to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we were confused.
And that's why we had to call you back, because you just hung up and ran away.
Well, we could have figured it out, which really would have been, I don't know why I did that. And we would have accepted that. We would have accepted, I misspoke.
Mm-hmm.
We would have accepted, hey, my friends wanted me to get my name on the air first.
Mm-hmm.
We would have accepted a lot of explanations.
And The Sopranos has not been on the air, dude, for like 2 years.
So really, we just had to call you back and share this with you.
I'm sorry, it's making me laugh that we're calling this guy back.
Dick.
The ball is on the other foot now.
Let me hear that one more time, Rob. Just so Nick knows. He's probably got a big ass-eating grin on his face right now. Listen to them talk about me. Well, Nick, I got two words for you. Lick it. Three words. Lick it, Nick.
Hey, Nick, do either of you...
There it is.
Back up a little bit, Rob. Just a little more. Mm-hmm. Let's hear it again. Nick, just a reference, it's your mistake.
That's the thing.
last call here. Don and Mike, hello.
Hey, Nick, do either of you recall...
There it is.
Stewardesses?
Mm-hmm. Right, I'm looking around the room. Where's Nick?
Yeah.
Nick who? Nick Nolte?
Mm-hmm.
Nick at night?
No.
Come on, St. Nick?
Lick it, Nick it.
All right. Bye, dummy. And thank you for listening to the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
L-I-G-N.
Lick it good, Nick. All right, we got a break. We'll be back with the guys who wrote the book about the A-Hole's Guide to Handling Chicks next.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
At every high school, there's one girl every boy notices, every male teacher looks at, and every man wants. She's the naughty cheerleader. Why don't you let her turn you on, too? The naughty cheerleader. The girl of every man's wildest dreams. Don't miss The Naughty Cheerleader, in color, rated R. No one under 17 admitted without parent, from Independent International.
I love Charlie's Balls.
The Don and Mike Show.
Freedom from constipation. It's the Don and Mike Show.
Right on. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Dave, mix it up.
Pardon me?
What?
That was a hit and run. Something about an ass?
Yeah, something and ass.
Mm-hmm.
Something and ass. Something like that. Well, we got your number two, but we don't have time to call that. Rob, did you understand what he said?
He said Nixon ass.
Oh, and then he
Nixon
hung up.
Guy referring
oh,
to the
Nixon
last
ass, and then he hung
oh,
up.
I see.
Oh, well, Nick's on the phone right now.
Oh, good.
Hey, dude.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, dude.
My question was, if you recall the opening episode...
No,
look at him go.
Nick, we're not getting into it with you. Nick?
Yes?
Do you understand our confusion with your telephone call to begin with?
Well, I said hey instead of hello.
No! Now listen, we have guests on the phone. Rob, can you rewind it one last time?
Sure.
I'm only going to play it for you one more time, and don't be a pussy and hang up, please.
I haven't hung up. I'm on a cell phone.
Oh.
Yeah, right. And you just went into a bad cell right as soon as we busted you on that?
No.
All right, well, listen to your inflection, and you will understand. Well, no, I'm not even going to say that. I'm not going to help you that much.
All right. You got it, Robbie?
Number two.
Number two. Listen, Nick.
They all seem to like to sing.
Last call here. Don and Mike, hello.
Hey, Nick, do either of you recall the stewardesses on...
Okay. Hey, Nick. Do either of you recall...
Sounds like you're speaking to a Nick.
There's no Nick in this room. You didn't say, hey, it's Nick. Hey, I'm Nick. Hey, this is Nick. Hey, it's the Nickster. Hey, it's the Nick Man. Hey, it's Nick at Night. Hey, it's Nick Mack. Hey, I'm Nick. You didn't say it.
Very true.
Thank you.
There you go.
Now, listen. Now that you've...
Yes.
Would you just like to apologize for that brief mix-up?
Of course.
All right, go ahead.
Thank you. Do you recall?
No.
Wow.
Please apologize.
Man, how much of a mallet head are you?
Apologize for effing up that thing with your name.
Very sorry.
No, a full sentence, please.
I am very sorry.
And who are you?
Nick.
All right, now, Nick, what did you want to say?
Do you recall?
There you go. Justice is served.
Yes. Okay, now...
Time for the author's corner.
You might remember last week, Mike, I teased you with reading some excerpts from a great book. The Complete A-Hole's Guide to Handling Chicks.
Yeah, there was some fascinating stuff in there, and I know I'm very curious about how this book came about.
Well, we have both of the guys online with us now. We have both Dan.
Hello.
And Carl. Hey, guys.
Yo. Hey, what's happening? What's going on?
These are the guys who have written this book. Now, guys, we spent one break on our show, about 20, 30 minutes last week, and all I did was just go to different chapters and read some of this stuff. And I'm going to tell you the first thing that you got in this book, and of course you know that is absolutely right, but the number two tip that you have on being a better a-hole...
Chicks are the enemy.
Chicks are the enemy.
Yes.
I got to tell you something honest. I swear... On Jesus's beating heart, today, I have an 18-year-old son. I swear to God that I sat him down and I said to him, you got to understand, whether it's mom or whether it's your girlfriend or whether it's grandma, it doesn't matter. I love them all, and I'm just saying this to you as your dad. They're all the enemy.
You know, I was on a golf course, I think it was 10 years ago, or maybe even less than that, maybe 6-7 years ago, and an old man, an old guy that I played golf with, said that to me. I was talking about my daughters, and he was talking about his granddaughters, and we were having a wonderful time talking about how wonderful they were, and he said to me before I teed off, just remember one thing, the time they come out of the womb, they're the enemy. I think this, you guys put this in the book, and this is... obviously, advice that's been handed down through the generations in certain
families. Well, and the fact that you pass it down to your son automatically gets you my vote for Father of the Year.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, whether he understands it now or not, 5 years from now, when he brings home his first Playboy Playmate, he's going to tell you you're the best goddamn dad in history.
Now, guys, let's get a little background on you. I've been married for 22 years.
I'm so sorry.
Listen, I'm dealing with it.
Well, you're cheating, right?
No, but I have the radio show to vent every day about my wife.
Well, keep in mind that hookers and strippers aren't considered cheating.
So are you now or have you ever been married?
This is Dan. I am currently married with a baby daughter due in 2 months.
Wow. All right, well, then are you cheating?
I think rule number 27 is if you cheat, be discreet. So
there you go.
If I was, of course I wouldn't say anything.
Of course.
Okay.
What about the other guy?
I myself, I'm actually a local boy. I was born and raised in Olney, Maryland. You guys are in D.C., right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. And I came out to Los Angeles and am happily single.
And have you ever been married?
God, no.
Okay.
All right, then just, you know, let's just deal in very broad strokes here because we're talking about, you know, you have got a variety of guys on this show and certainly a variety of guys listening in. We got 6 million people listening right now. What is it about women... from the womb to the tomb, what is it that makes them so uniquely our enemy?
Breasts.
And they desire to use them to further their own goals.
I see. Would that be the most important rule in your book?
Chicks are the enemy? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why it's number two.
Yeah, that's something you got to remember from, you know, the day you're 1 day old till they actually put you in a box at the end, you know? I mean, everything pretty much springs out of that rule, too. You know, it's understand a chick's the enemy makes you, you know, treat them like garbage, treat them like a pincushion, treat them like a receptacle, and basically, you know, like treat them like yesterday's garbage.
Which is better than they deserve to be treated.
How does your wife feel about this book, and how do you handle... her when she, you know, when she obviously speaks to you about what you do for a living.
Well, first of all, she shouldn't be speaking unless spoken to.
My wife actually read the book as I was writing it. You know, she read everything, and she just laughed. I mean, she's been taught from day one that, you know, I'm going to do the things I do, and if she wants to continue getting weekly pedicures and Prada bags, she will accept that as the gospel.
Wow.
So, you know, she really doesn't cause me many problems.
Now, here you go. Here's Picking Up Chicks Like an A-Hole. I'm going to read a little bit of this book, which I'm guessing is available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Yes, it is.
Work. Let's talk about work.
Hold on. Let me go back to that page. Work. Hold on. Man. Hold on.
Work. Sleeping around at work is definitely not for the faint of heart. Maybe you've heard the Pixie Maxims, the Pithy Maxims. Don't fish off the company pier. Don't dip your pen in company ink. Don't ask where you eat. There are entire books about workplace relationships. Thousands of lawsuits about workplace relationships. It's tough enough to find a woman to sleep with you, but if you're poking a coworker, you got to worry about whether she's going to report it to the boss, or you're going to get fired for feeling her up at the water cooler, or if your one night of premature jizz is going to lop 15 grand off your salary. So what they do is, because we're dealing with a-holes, and you know we're going to do whatever the hell you want to do, regardless of what we say, this is these guys writing,
mm-hmm.
Here's a guide to making the busy little beavers that make up the female workforce. You have the eager beaver. These are the Murphy Brown types that work extremely hard to get where they're going. They have educations from the nation's top schools. You may think she's being friendly, but there's a good chance she's just using you as another stepping stone on her way to the top. How to get her? Even though she's a hard-working chick, she's still a chick, which means she's insecure and needs a man's approval.
Wow.
To feel like she's worth a damn. Don't let the business suit fool you. Underneath is nothing but a garter belt. Motivated women know what they want in the workforce, and they know what they need in bed. Sex is a necessary release for these hyper-motivated sluts. So if you can get them for a one-night stand, it'll most likely resemble a four-hour bull ride. Hold on to her horns and pray you don't get bucked right into unemployment.
Boy, you guys,
amen, brother.
You guys are going to be on some list.
Now, you don't think
any woman would find that offensive, right?
No.
The eager beaver. These are all the types of women. I'm not going to read them all, but the types of women at work. Eager beaver, the sharp-toothed beaver, the shaved beaver, the support beaver, and the unemployed or lower-class beaver. And now, listen, our producer is getting married in a couple of months. Here's another. Here's another one. Five reasons why it's easy to get laid at a wedding. Number one, it sucks to be a single chick. A wedding's a reminder to every single woman she hasn't found the right guy. Number two, taking off the dress is more fun. There's a simple formula to remember for every hour of wedding time. Chicks spend 4 hours getting ready. Three, girls love to dance. Nothing makes a chick hornier than dancing. If she's covered with sweat and shaking her ass, you can bet the bowling alley she's not more than two cosmopolitans away from getting nasty in the closet.
How much research did you guys do for this?
Oh, I was just at a wedding this weekend.
Constant.
It wasn't a closet. It was actually the middle of an empty ballroom. So.
Four.
With emphasis on the word ball.
Four. Everybody's drunk. And five, you look good. And listen to this one. Strike early and play marriage. The best way to get laid at a wedding is to pick a chick early and work her all night. That's why bridesmaids and groomsmen are always in equal numbers. They're practically required to pair up at the end of the night. If you're a groomsman, it's your duty to tag the chick you walk down the aisle with.
Oh, no. No, that can't be right.
Here's one more, and then we're going to leave it up to these guys. Getting laid at a funeral.
At a funeral.
Wow.
It's arguable, but a funeral may actually be a better place to pick up a piece of ass than a wedding. If you're shaking your head and thinking this section's in bad taste, why did you read the rest of the book, you friggin' hypocrite? Facts are facts. When women mourn, they feel vulnerable, and they need a strong man to latch onto. Never more true than with a woman who just lost her breadwinner. Widows, due to the depth of their pain, are undoubtedly the easiest targets you'll find at any funeral.
Oh, my God.
How great is this book?
Man, oh,
hey,
man.
Hey, you know what? If you're going to hell, you might as well go for the penthouse.
Just go full speed, guys.
First class, all the way there.
You know, now, listen, all I know is when you have that section about a funeral, and you know, you either research these things, talk to somebody, or it happens yourself. Have either one of you ever gotten lucky at a funeral?
I can't really remember because I was so drunk at the last funeral I was at.
Wow.
I remember when I was reading the book, a lot of the stuff that you guys refer to are cool Jedi mind tricks.
Yes.
And a lot of that, I read the part about marriage, and a lot of the stuff, and you'll notice I'm doing this without the book now, Mike, so you know I really did read this part,
right.
Was about pretending to listen.
Oh, yeah.
Buzz,
practice your throwaway lines.
Yeah,
huge.
Yeah, Buzz, you'll love this. And they refer to it as a cool Jedi trick.
I like that. It is, if you can pull it off.
So give us just one great one. When you go home tonight and your wife starts, you know, but you got the sound effect. Here's the sound effect. When you go home, this is the wife. When she goes home, what's the perfect thing to say to that?
Well, really what you have to say every time is you form a tear in your eye, and you say, honey, everything you say is important to me. I just need some time to get my thoughts together. Done.
There
you're
you
getting go. Late in 20 minutes.
Well handled.
Now, Mike?
Yes.
The last part of the book, as I told you last week when we were going over it, was death and divorce.
Yeah, and I know there's a lot that I can relate to.
Divorce and death. Do you have any questions at all?
Well, what was in the book about the divorce? You know, I mean, I know there were sections in there that were...
Don't give her anything.
We're all done with that. It's too late for that, fellas.
Too late. Remember this? I read you this one, fat, broke, bald, and single, what in God's name you're going
to
do?
Yeah, and you had some very pointed advice about how to handle things, and I think there was something about getting thin... and getting rich.
Yeah.
Best way to rebound, right?
Yeah, don't screw up this time. Marry the rich chick the second time around.
Yeah, you know, and the...
marry money.
What about tip number 48? And this might really help, Mike. Relish your a-hole lifestyle. What is that about?
Well, that's the last page of the book.
Yeah.
I mean, basically,
yeah, right.
It's basically, look back on all the chicks you got to do without spending that much money or making a fool of yourself.
Right.
And just kind of be happy at how, you know, the way you did things while all your friends are henpecked losers, you know, getting ordered around by their little witches. You know, you got a lot of great-looking tail, and you really didn't have to do much.
Years younger than you. Just kind of think back and thank God you got this book when you did.
There's so much, even in the early part of this book, when, like, in your high school years, going into college, never say I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Cover your ass. Never put anything in writing. Watch your back because your friends won't. And then they have a pecking order of in high school and college of who you are and who you're going to get laid with.
Yep. How you can move up.
Star athlete, popular guy, rich kid, mediocre athlete, drunk, drama groupie, pothead, everyday Joe, new kid, band member, homosexual, computer geek.
Pretty much covers the gamut, doesn't
yeah.
it? How many categories do you fall under?
Except the fag one, just about all of them. Your first pincushion. So you're looking to get laid.
There you go.
That's another.
Actually, next month, Carl and I are starting our candidacy for president of the National Organization for Women.
Good luck. You know, I was going to ask you seriously. A book like this, usually, sometimes they just they cast it aside. But sometimes, have you guys gotten any heat at all over this book?
Well, it's only come out a week ago.
Right.
So we haven't gotten the ire and the hate of the women's groups yet.
You will.
It is flying off the shelves for everybody else, and we're waiting for our one-on-one with Oprah.
All right.
Weren't you guys down at the Masters Golf Tournament protesting with the National Organization for Women?
I actually was going to go there and give Martha Burke a book.
All right. One last snippet from this book. How $5 can get you laid. Face it, you're just out of school, you have no money, and it's hard to impress the chicks. It's relatively easy. Once you learn how to take $5 and use it to stimulate all of your date's emotional pressure points. 1. Blockbuster. The movie rental is God's way of supporting a-holes. For $5, you get 2 whole hours without the chick babbling in your ear. 2. Ice cream. Women love ice cream. They eat it constantly, especially when they're depressed. Buying a woman ice cream is like saying, I understand you and I want to make you happy.
Mm-hmm.
When in reality you're saying, I don't spend money when I J-O in my sock, so I shouldn't spend more than $5 on you either.
Ice cream.
Now,
that
listen
is
to this.
Killing me.
How true is this? Even after 22 years of marriage.
Right.
A walk. I hate going on walks with my wife. And you guys,
that's cheaper than the $5,
you
know, too.
Walks are another fascinating chick phenomenon. Every woman is a sucker for a long walk. It doesn't matter where it is. You can stroll around on an expressway and the chick will be giddy.
Now, you know that's true. Yeah.
The reason is simple. Guys never listen to women despite the fact that chicks want to do nothing else but talk to you about their day. Here's another one. The zoo.
Because that's a great one.
Yeah.
Chicks love kids. Chicks love animals. The zoo has tons of both.
That's funny. I have seen so many. You know, when I've been taking my kids to the zoo, I always look at the couples. It is funny. You can tell the young couples are there.
Anyway, this book, you know, I could get a lot of, boy, just some of these, some of the headlines, some of those, like they're not chapters, but just real big. Girlfriends, because your sock doesn't wash itself. You know, they're just little
great titles.
Well, cocktail chatter always starts with a COC.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, love it.
What is the number one rule of behavior in a bar?
They probably deleted that out. You got to say a-hole. They'll let us say the word ass.
Oh, okay.
And we can say the word hole, but we can't say
an a-hole, not an ATM machine.
And Buzz, for you, I found a special chapter.
What'd you find?
For you and Marcia.
Yeah?
Banging a wife who's not yours. Huh. Buzz is swapping.
No. I did it one time.
He swapped in the past.
Yeah. That's fantastic. God bless you. God bless you.
Positives, they have kids, so you know that they'll F. Negatives, they have kids. Positives, you can bang them in the minivan. Negatives, your friends might see you driving in a minivan.
The minivan.
Positive.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say my favorite in that one.
Yeah.
Is positives. Sex in the afternoon. Negative, the afternoon.
Yeah. All right, listen, this book is, we would really like this to be behind this book getting on the bestseller list. It's The Complete A-Hole's Guide to Handling Chicks. Dan and Dante, am I pronouncing that correctly,
yeah.
Dan? And Karl Marx. Great guys. Guys, come back and let us know if you sold any books after being on this show today.
Absolutely.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, thank you.
Bye, dude.
Good evening.
Bye-bye.
There you go.
That's a good book.
Interesting.
When I came back from Iceland, and last night I was sitting at my desk doing a little show prep, and I said, I was going nuts. I said to Frida, you know, there was a book that I left sitting here, and I really need it for tomorrow's show. Well, guess who was upstairs reading it in the BM room?
The boy. Loving every minute of it.
And part of our discussion today when I was explaining how they're the enemy was, I was saying, now that's a funny book, but there are parts of that book that are in fact very true.
Very true.
By very sensitive men.
Whether it's mom or whether it's your girlfriend or whether it's someone we, you know, grandma, someone, you know, they're all the enemy. And that you just have to do what you have to do.
I totally disagree.
Okay, anyway, there you go, Mike. There's your copy of The A-Hole's Guide to Handling Chicks.
Thank you.
You don't want it?
No.
It's a funny read.
No, I'd like to go out to a bar with those guys.
It's a funny read.
Funny.
Now, ladies, gentlemen, in-betweens, here's the spot. We've got about 10 minutes to give away a trip to Iceland and $500.
Wow.
And incidentally, $500 in Iceland? You can buy a Coca-Cola and a sweater. And a straw.
Don't forget a piece of chocolate.
So here's the deal. 2-night, 3-day trip to Iceland from BWI Airport. Planning a trip to Europe? Iceland Air flies to your favorite cities in Scandinavia, Great Britain, and the continent. Call your travel agent or go to icelandair.com to book your flight and vacation package. Iceland Air, coolest airline crossing the Atlantic. And $500 to spend from Cinemax, the ultimate in movie entertainment with exclusive Hollywood premieres, the biggest hit movie variety, and the fewest repeats on premium TV. For info, log on to Cinemax.com. Now, we tried this about an hour ago.
Yeah, it didn't go that well.
We didn't get a winner. We were going to do this bit last Friday. We weren't here because of the travel day. Tony Soprano's mom, Olivia Soprano.
Olivia Soprano is, she's right outside where you left her after the last segment.
And we're going to do Make Mrs. Soprano Laugh. Come on in here, Olivia.
Oh, for you. Thank be God. I don't want to be here.
Now, this is a very rare happenstance that we would come back to a bit an hour and a half later in the show.
I've got my cane.
See that?
holding in my bony hands. Make me laugh, a-holes.
First person to make Tony Soprano's dead mom laugh. And you see, we're doing this because we were going to do this bit last Friday.
So hungry, I could eat a horse, but I don't have a stomach
for Mother's Day. So call now at 877-365-3636. If anybody...
Call now, you bunch of depraved a-holes.
If anybody can make Tony Soprano's mom laugh...
You better be able to make me laugh.
You'll win a trip to Iceland and $500.
That woman is not your aunt.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Uncle June, how was Boca?
Wonderful. I don't go down enough.
That's not what I heard.
About what?
Nothing. I'm sorry. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Last time, Aunt Bobby bought me live piranha.
You believe that was a piranha? Come on.
That woman is not your aunt.
Livia, I warned you. Start that seat. Bobby's a sweet, sweet girl.
What the hell's the matter with you?
Ron, what did I say? This wife of yours, she's got the giggles.
Can I be excused? And we just sat down.
How are you going to play tomorrow? You don't eat.
He's right, Meg. You need protein.
No, I don't, because I quit.
You quit? What are you talking about? With Ali back, you can go to the States.
A girl slips her wrists, and all you can think about is a game?
Well, it wasn't like friggin' Cobain. It was just a little suicidal gesture, that's all.
The Don and Mike Show. More fun than putting your hand in a bag of bees. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, well, let's bring her back in.
I can walk through walls.
Yeah, it's so foolish to play the door sound effect. You don't need it, Olivia.
Hello, Don.
Hey, you're dead.
I'm dead. Out of the hallway, a very unpleasant young man pulled my arm off.
Who's that?
John Norman. That's his name, and he's using it as a toy.
He's under a lot of stress. Rob, put 10 minutes on the clock.
10 minutes, schmen minutes.
And really, that's all the time we have if we're going to get to the Buzz News show tonight.
I like the bright colors, though.
And what?
On your shirt.
Okay, here we go.
It's a Seahawk.
We're on in Seattle, you know. What are you laughing at, Olivia?
I'm not going to laugh.
Make Olivia Soprano laugh. Win a trip to Iceland and $500.
All right.
$500.
Start that clock, Robert.
Ready?
Hello, Don and Mike. Make Olivia Soprano laugh.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
What's the worst part about having sex with a five-year-old?
That's an old one.
Hello, make Olivia Soprano laugh.
Hey, Mrs. Soprano.
I'm right here, and I appreciate your courtesy.
Has that pickled plate of yours rotted away yet?
That's not funny.
Hello.
Why are you smirking?
Make Mrs. Soprano laugh.
Hello.
About a month ago, I heard on the news that banana a day helps keep the colon cleansed. Went to the doctor yesterday and supposed to eat the goddamn things.
Oh, he's talking about putting a banana up his...
But you said
that's not good.
You said you liked anal.
I like anal, but I don't like people putting food in there.
Hello, Don and Mike.
This is Soprano.
Good afternoon.
My BM looks like snails, and there's blood!
Didn't do it.
No. Unfortunately, hello. I was too close to that. Well, hello. It was true.
Don and Mike, hello.
Hello.
Yeah, make Ma Soprano laugh.
Hey, I put a request in. No more BM and blood.
Okay. Hello.
Look, a guy goes to the doctor. His doctor says, your wife's been in a terrible accident. I got good news and bad news. But I'll start with the bad news. Your wife's going to be a vegetable for the rest of her life and completely unresponsive.
Okay, this is so old, please.
That's
hello.
An ancient joke. What is wrong with your listeners?
We ask ourselves that every
Why
day.
Why don't they have more respect?
Don't hit the microphone.
I'll hit what I want, you. Show
Olivia?
Some respect. Hello.
Olivia.
Good afternoon.
Hi, I just wanted to find out, make sure it was okay with you. I've been a fan of yours for such a long time.
Well, thank you, young man.
What I do, once a week, I go to your gravesite, and spoon by spoon, I remove the dirt till I get to your beautiful face, and then I enjoy your skull and your buttocks in an adult manner. Is that okay with you that I do that?
What a horrible thing to say.
I mean,
are you trying to tell me you desecrate my grave?
Well, no, I do it spoon by spoon, gently, to get to your beautiful face.
You're going to go straight to hell.
Got big laughs on this side of the
I'm sure it did, smarty man.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Olivia, how are you?
How are you? Good afternoon.
How can you tell who's the Irish guy in the hospital?
Ow.
He's the one blowing the foam off of his bedpan.
That's not funny.
Oh.
You're talking about...
They're going to delete that out. You got to say number one.
Oh, number one. Rules, schmools.
Hello.
I'm tired of the rules. No one gives me a book.
Make Olivia laugh. You're on the air.
Hello. Yes,
go ahead. Go.
Why didn't you pay attention in the first place?
What's the difference between gay sex and a refrigerator?
What?
Oh, is it the median?
Yeah, the refrigerator doesn't...
Oh, how about a fresh one?
Hello, Don and Mike. Make Olivia laugh.
Hi, Mr. Picado.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. All right, there's a guy having a theme party.
Did you just burp?
Nah, I coughed. I'm sorry.
You burped?
There's a guy having a theme party. The requirement is that you dress up like a human emotion for this party. First guy comes to the door. He's dressed in all red. This guy says, what's wrong? Well, what are you? He says, I'm dressed in anger, red in anger. He says, okay, next guy comes to the door, dressed all in green. He says, okay, what are you? He says, green with envy. He says, come on in. Next guy's a naked brother with a pear on the end of his D. He says, what are you? What are you supposed to be? He goes, oh, man, can't you see? I'll be effing this pear.
That wasn't funny at all.
Not even Rob laughed at that.
That's too long, and you've wasted a dead woman's time.
I didn't like make Olivia Soprano laugh.
Please.
Okay, hello? What is it? Are you there?
Yeah, just go, honey.
Of course okay. We're here.
What is a Jewish dilemma?
Free something. Free ham.
Honey. I'm right. Sorry.
Now, Rob Spiewak told hello. Me that, and the first time he told me, I laughed.
Hello? Make Olivia laugh.
Best Western.
Best Western? I don't get it.
Why did Rob laugh?
I don't know. Why'd you laugh at that? Because you're tired.
He laughed. Someone said Best Western. What do you mean?
What's the punchline? Holiday Inn? I don't get it.
Best Western.
Best Western what?
I was just curious what your thoughts were.
He's trying an abstract.
Abstract.
Hello, Don and Mike. Make Olivia Soprano laugh.
Olivia, hey, you guys missed the Tonight Show Monday night while visiting the Bays in Iceland, right?
Yeah.
Well, Katie Couric changed places with Jay. She thought it'd be real great if her BM-eating kids wrote some jokes. So her big joke was, guy walks into a bar and all of a sudden people say, oh, nice shoes, nice shirt. And the big punchline is the peanuts are complimentary. She should just change her name to C-word Couric, shouldn't she?
It was more of an editorial than a joke.
I understand, and I didn't find it funny.
Hello, make Olivia laugh.
Hello, Olivia.
Would you give me something I can possibly laugh at before I die another death? Go.
Yeah, last night I walked into a bar, and who walks up next to me but Mike O'Meara, and he orders 12 shots of whiskey. I said, what's the occasion? He said, my first DJ. I said, let me buy you another one. He says, if 12 doesn't get the taste out of my mouth, 13 definitely won't.
That's very great. Cool. Using Mike O'Meara was brilliant, too. That'll get you to Iceland, you moron.
Make Olivia laugh.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay.
Hey, why did Michael Jackson dangle his kid outside the window?
Why?
To punish him for not finishing his plate of sperm.
He stumbled.
It's not funny.
We're laughing at your stupidity.
Didn't work.
Sorry. Hi, Don and Mike Show. Make Olivia laugh.
Hi, what do you get when you combine two molecules of urea?
What?
Diarrhea.
Hello, make Olivia laugh.
Grandma, what's a DNR?
What is a DNR?
Is it like DNA? I heard Dad talking about it at the hospital the other day.
Do not resuscitate.
Hold on, does that make you laugh?
Funny.
Does that make you laugh?
That made me laugh.
Laughing.
Sorry.
Now she's
that's
laughing.
That's the winner?
I'm sorry. That's the winner? Somebody calling with the DNR?
Mm-hmm. Do not resuscitate.
You mean
I'm tired.
We've done that now twice, and that's
I'm
the winner?
Sorry, I was snickering.
You had all those great... priest jokes.
Now, they were all horrible. I remember when little Anthony Jr. asked me what a DNR was. Do not resuscitate. Why is that making me laugh?
You're the only one.
I know.
But it's your bit.
Yeah, all right.
Congratulations, you
yeah,
won.
Thanks a lot, guys.
What's your name, my friend?
Bill from Philly.
Bill. All right.
Yeah.
Bill, now, here's the only bad part. You got to drive to DWI.
But that's all right.
But your commute will be about what ours was, about 2 hours. You are flying for a 2-night, 3-day trip to Iceland.
Flatline.
From BWI, Iceland Air, the coolest airline crossing the Atlantic. And you got $500 to spend from Cinemax. For more information on Cinemax, go to Cinemax.com. And you are calling from the Legacy,
Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. How come you never come and see me?
Well, very soon our careers will be as dead as you are. Unless we get some Arbitron listeners on WYSP like yesterday, man.
I've been telling everybody.
Thank you very much. Hold on a second. Enjoy your trip.
Thanks a lot.
We had a good time. Use that $500. Trust
me. Awesome.
You're going to need it.
Enjoy yourself.
And Olivia,
it's been a real pleasure.
Great having you on the show.
Time for me to crawl back into my hole.
Hey, Rob, don't we have the theme music? Hold on. Let me just tell Rob.
You got theme music. I didn't even request theme music.
I got some
What's it with you kids and rock and roll today?
I got special music for you.
You like it? Is it going to be one of your screaming memes?
Nah, you're going to like it.
Is it one of your girly guys with his long hair?
I thought we had it up there.
Now, that boy has a nice haircut. That's the way a man cuts his hair properly.
The flat top.
That's the way it should be, not like yours.
I'll play it out of a jingle for you, okay?
All right, let's go. I like it when you do that.
There you go. Well, Olivia, thank you for coming by.
Wow.
Make Olivia Soprano laugh.
Goodbye. It's been a real slice of heaven, you bastard.
The morning buzz a little, sing a little, sing a little.
Well, yeah.
Sing a little,
new. Sorry about that. Maybe not really well deserved. There's something that, you know, you never can figure it out.
It was your contest, man.
Oh, the DNR is funny today.
You know, you're a little sleep deprived.
And something about, you know, not, she's dead already. And,
right.
I don't know. I don't, I'm not responsible for my actions.
You made somebody very happy. Now let's go to the news cubicle. The Buzz, Tony in the bathroom. He's also very tired.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden,
we're both in.
One man found a way to bring good news to his people.
It's me.
He made it up.
He was cleaning. Man, am I tired.
But I don't
know
if I'm up to this.
Did he use paper this time?
Paper or plastic? I never know. Buzz, what is your lead story today?
Today, two great men on Capitol Hill this week. One is the president of this company. The other is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Now this part about Mr. Karmazin.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Mr. Karmazin with laryngitis.
Yeah. Did you hear Mr. Karmazin?
Did I?
Did I.
Screaming at Congress with laryngitis.
Yes.
You know, what have I done for you?
Yeah, it was pretty intense.
Because Mel wants to buy more.
That's right.
Is that so bad? I say, bully to you, Mr. Karmazin.
Right.
If a man comes into your grocery store, do you not sell him another piece of meat?
Mm-hmm.
If a man goes to bed, Rob, what was the other one? I know we're just eating up valuable time, but we're just goofy tired now. Remember we had that thing that we read you on the menu?
Oh, hold on one second. I might have.
There was something on the wine list.
That's right, on the airline.
Yesterday, mm-hmm. Rob and I were just... We were going number one in our pants about this. It's better than a loaf of bread and a friend.
This is not
it. Okay, here you go.
Well, here's the menu. Hold on.
The original one was a kind word need not cost much.
Mm-hmm.
The price of praise can be cheap. With half a loaf and an empty cup, I found myself a friend.
Yeah. There you are.
And to that,
welcome to Iceland.
To that I say, drink your mead, but in moderation.
Mm-hmm.
Talk sense or be silent. No man is called discourteous who goes to bed at an early hour.
Aye. And we would laugh. And then we would go, but that's why we're smart, because we went to bed before everybody else.
And we never called you discourteous.
Never.
Oh.
Buzz.
Not that.
So
we called you other things.
But not discourteous.
Mel's in the news. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news and comment.
Coming up
on the Don and Mike
Don
Show.
Don and Mike Show. DNR. That was very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
More precious than all the spices you could ever trade. Hey. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
That's a good one. Time for news and comment now. With our friend Buzz, brought to you by Veramax Sexual Pleasure and Performance Enhancer.
Someone called for a doctor.
Doctor developed, clinically tested Veramax work. Get it at Rite Aid, GNC, and other select retailers. Try it today. Veramax, 1-888-TRY-VMAX. And we're going to take away a lot of Buzz's time here. This will be real quick. Got a prize right now. We have so much to give away.
Yeah.
We are into giveaways always on this show. And just be the first caller right now to answer a question about something that happened like in the last 2 hours on the show. And I'll give you some good stuff, including fourth row up close WWE tickets. Well, actually, it's WWE up close and uncensored, but the tickets are fourth row, so that would indicate you'd be up close. I'm over-explaining it. Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi, this is Tom.
Hey, Tom, have you been listening to the show the last couple of hours? With his name right.
Oh, my God.
First name only necessary, always.
Right. Dak? Pardon me?
Dak?
You are missing it always. Hello, Don and Mike. What was the guy's name? The jerk on the telephone? Hello? Or just hang up.
They bailed.
Or just hang up. Hello, Don and Mike.
Dad? Hi, Don and Mike.
Turn your radio down, please.
Turn it down. What was the guy's name?
What guy?
No, forget it. You're not even paying enough attention to know the question.
And he had his radio on and turned up. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how's it going?
That guy a couple of hours ago, we kind of pseudo-argued with him.
Yeah?
About his name. What was his first name?
Nick.
There you go.
Bingo. That's how easy it is.
Good job.
Nick the Dick. What's your name, my friend?
My name is Mike.
Mike, where are you from?
I'm from Ashburn.
All right, Mike, you've got fourth row tickets to see WWE up close and uncensored, MCI Center. These kids call it phone booth. Saturday, June 21, don't miss 25 of your favorite WWE superstars. Tickets go on sale this Saturday at 10 a.m. Plus, you won the Jackass Movie Prize Pack, including a free large pizza from Papa John's.
Hey.
Order it on Comcast Digital Cable, 1-888-Comcast. And are you ready?
Yep.
Even better than WWE, even better than Jackass, an autographed script from an episode of According to Jim.
I will frame it.
That is a treasure that you can pass along to your children.
Now, tonight on ABC, it's the season finale of George Lopez. What happens when George finally comes face-to-face with the dad that abandoned him?
What happens to him?
It's the moment of truth tonight at 8. Tonight at 8 on ABC.
Bueno.
So, enjoy, my friend.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you for listening. Hold on just a second.
Okay.
There you go. See, more winners, more often.
There you go.
Station everybody at work hates, even the boss. The Don and Mike Show. And now here's Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Even though he's suffering from laryngitis, the CEO of Viacom was on Capitol Hill this week wrangling the FCC to let TV networks buy more stations. As it stands, ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox are allowed to own 35% of a local audience. Networks like Viacom's CBS and UPN combination would like that number raised to 45%. Some networks have already exceeded the legal limit.
Let's be honest, they would like it raised to 105%.
Yeah. The FCC seems ready to give them what they want, so some stations have already gone over the limit. The network's argument is that without the increase, viewers would be forced to watch NFL games on cable or satellite, meaning no more free over-the-air games. That's the network's argument.
And our CEO, Mel Karmazin, was there.
Yes, he was.
Speaking with laryngitis.
Yes, he was.
Mr. Speaker. And I asked him 2 hours ago, Mr. Speaker, I want to buy more stations. What haven't I done for you? And also, Don and Mike, I'm continuing to ignore you. Always. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Counts my breath.
Local stations argue.
Oh, there you go. Sorry, Buzz.
Local stations argue that giving the networks more freedom will make it harder for them to preempt network shows for local ones, even when the station thinks the network show goes against community standards.
You see, once Don and Mike had a meeting with me. That was intense.
Yes, it was.
And there was bad breath all the way around. What haven't I done for you?
See, it's weird because he's like, he's on the news now.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you gotta, and he's the man.
He's making the news.
He is the man.
He's the man.
Arnold. How's that producer of yours? He's marrying Lisa Marie Presley, right?
No, it's Lisa Herndon.
Lisa Marie Herndon.
Lisa Marie Herndon. What haven't I done for you? I'm ignoring Don and Mike. Always.
Good luck. I hope you get more TV stations.
Get well, sir.
Your Ireland show sucks.
It was Iceland.
Sucks. Stay at home. Work every day. No more for you, always.
No more anything.
Arnold Schwarzenegger was also on Capitol Hill this week arguing against budget cuts that would definitely...
I'm an Icelandic couple.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There's Arnold.
Yeah,
hold on. Here you go. Wait a minute.
There's the Arnold music.
Arnold was arguing against budget cuts that would decimate some after-school programs. Arnold says he never would have become a champion bodybuilder or movie star without mentors.
Oh, he is making stupid statements always.
And mentoring programs are among those facing the cuts. Arnold told the Senate subcommittee yesterday, if children are our future's in jeopardy every afternoon between 3 and 6 when unsupervised children are roaming the streets.
Hey, 3 and 6, that's a...
The Don and Mike Show.
That's what he was referring to.
That makes you guys mentors.
In the West.
Preparing to run for governor of California.
Arnold.
Preparing to run for governor of California, Arnold led a successful drive to expand after-school programs
can
there.
Can we just say, can I just say, I know I speak for Don.
Yes?
Thank you. Thank you 1,000 times, Arnold, for running for governor of California.
Yeah. Imagine, we got the campaign, the,
yep.
We got his victory,
yep.
And then we've got...
Oh, no, or maybe his concession speech.
Oh, no, he'll win.
You
he'll
think win. He's going to win? Yeah. I've got $100 says he won't win.
I've got $1,000 that says he will. I've got $1,000 that says, and whatever facial bet you want to make involving hair that says he wins.
Really?
We've been out there. Look at those people. Look at them. Like they give a rat's ass about government.
Arnold is not going to win that election.
Hmm. Arnold will win the election.
Has he even been nominated?
It's not official, but all signs point to his running. He's making all the necessary preparations.
Vote for Arnold, King of Los Angeles.
I think he might win. And yesterday, when...
All right, but I'll still make it. I don't want to bet that much, but I'll make it $100 and figure out some other choice bet.
You're on.
And when he finished speaking to lawmakers yesterday, he told them, I'll be back.
I'll be back for you.
Always.
Always. That way, even if I lose the bet, I'll still be happy. Because we'll have Governor Schwarzenegger.
Governor
Schwarzenegger. Oh, my God.
Now, is he not, it's the presidency he can't win because he's not a United States student. He's not born here.
Right.
But he could be a governor, right?
Yeah. Yes, he could.
Yes, I couldn't be the president, but I could be the governor. And I say, that's fine, because you've got the whole power over the state always.
And here's where I'm coming from on this bet. 10 years ago, if I would have said to you, Gopher from the Love Boat would be elected. Now, I know it's not California. I know it's not a powerful state like California, but Gopher from the Love Boat.
Right.
And, like, have you ever turned on...
And a cooter.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, right, yeah.
Right.
You ever turned on WMAL late at night? Like about 9 o'clock sometimes, Free and I'd be out, we'd turn on this bad AM station here in town, news station, alleged news station, and they go, our guest tonight is Fred Grandy, and you'll hear him on the phone going, well, thanks for fine, blah, 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 and then, you know, all of a sudden you realize, wait a minute, hold on, it's a gopher from the Love Boat. Don't forget about Sonny Bono.
Yeah.
And then when Sonny Bono hit the tree, suddenly his dumb wife gets the job.
You know what? So what you're telling me is that idiots in show business have a good track record.
Yes, they do.
Oh, indeed. It's still Arnold, though.
Yes,
I'm
they do.
I'm praying that there's some kind of sense in California.
That's right. I know I'm thinking way out of the box here.
Mm-hmm.
But 2008, Tim Allen for president.
And he'll still be using the same shtick.
Yeah.
I was the Santa Claus.
Well, another difference between JFK and Bill Clinton... JFK didn't get caught. A new book says Kennedy had an affair with a 19-year-old intern who traveled with him on official trips.
Man, there's a book about Kennedy having an affair?
Yes.
Well, those are so rare.
Yes, they almost never happen.
Yeah, they never happen.
There's a new one.
Right.
Quoting biographer Robert Dalek, she had no skills. She could answer the phone. Apparently, her only...
She had some skills, Buzz.
Well, he says apparently her only skill was to provide sexual release for JFK on those trips and maybe
handies.
In the White House.
Handies. Imagine that. Yeah. Erotica.
Dalek says he learned of the affair from a former White House aide whose memoirs were just recently made available. The aide says she only remembers the girl's first name and she refuses to reveal it. Quoting the author, there were lots of women. Did it distract him from his job? I think it didn't.
Hold on there, Buzz. Don and Mike, hello.
Don and Rob are gay.
That's not the call he's looking for.
Mm.
I'm not disputing it. I'm just saying. Here you go.
Hello, Joe.
Yeah, Don and Mike.
Now listen to this. This guy brings up a valid point from Sacramento. And incidentally, let's go Kings. I don't know what the F was going on last night. I really don't. I know Chris Webber's out. But dudes, you got killed by Dallas last night.
What was happening with happening was Steve Nash's 25 points.
I think we're done.
Somebody read the paper.
No, I'm not. Don't give me that much credit. Don't give me that much credit as the paper happened to be open to
screaming
that.
Headline.
I was on the headline. Okay.
All right.
Anyway, listen, this guy has a great point about Arnold.
Go ahead, sir.
Hey, how you guys doing? How you guys doing today?
Come on, just get to your point, please.
Dive in.
This would make Robbie really happy. If Arnold wins the governorship, he gets to be from Sacramento, and you can dance all day long.
Okay, he said it wrong, but the thought is right.
What was the point?
Because the governor of California
lives in Sacramento.
Lives in Sacramento.
Yeah.
I mean, he said it wrong, but
right.
The thought is funny.
You know, if he wins, I'm making a bet because I don't think he'll win, but I will be very happy if he does win, because just think we've got... The inaugural address?
Yeah, hold on, wait a minute, hold on. Here's more proof, Mike, and I'm surprised you didn't remember this. Hello? Phil? Phil?
Yeah. Hey, don't forget about Jesse the Body Ventura.
That's right. True.
Another.
Okay. Listen, we love... This is how little we think about politics.
Well, that's what motivated... Didn't that kind of motivate Arnold to get going on that?
Yeah, and this really is how little we think about politics. And really, they're not decision makers. They're figureheads, and it's a goof.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's a goof. It started with the dude at the Love Boat. Then it was Sonny Bono. Then it was Jesse Ventura. Now, who really is the biggest dick that we can elect to the highest office possible?
Yeah.
Arnold Schwarzenegger. They'll laugh about it every night in California.
Yeah, you keep talking. I'm going to resume this bet. This is quite a body of evidence that's building here.
It sure is.
Maybe before I shave off my eyebrows. I just, you know, maybe it's my heart that's thinking, you know, we can't possibly be. But then you bring up the fabulous Sonny Bono election.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And don't forget, they're so stupid, they voted for his dumb wife. When she was dating
Mary Bono.
Yeah, when she was dating one of the Oak Ridge boys. I'm not making that up. Hello, David, in California.
Gentlemen, the guy will win in a landslide because all the liberals in the Bay Area and L.A. will vote for him. And the Central Valley will vote for him because he's a Republican. I guarantee it, Mike, he's going to win.
Listen, it has nothing. Mm-hmm. Listen, you might bring up valid arguments. I don't know anything about the politics out there. I'm just telling you that there is a large percentage of people who will vote because every night it'll be like watching Comedy Central.
You know, I'll tell you, I hope he gets the comedy vote. You know, a chicken in every pot.
Yes, and you just coined the phrase, the comedy vote.
A chicken in every pot.
This is Kent Brockman with 48% of the precincts in. Gray Davis leads. However, in the comedy vote... Arnold Schwarzenegger has a commanding lead.
Dankeschön. Bitteschön. I'd like to thank the peoples of California for giving me this. Anyway you slice it, it's good for us.
And he has to live in Sacramento.
This is the greatest place for the governor to live. In Sacramento. Great pottery here.
Buzz, listen, I know we got off on a race. You got to hold off.
All right.
Seconds.
We'll do.
We can do this.
Hello, Stockton.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Shake a hand. Have a word with Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
You know, Robbie, that's very close. Have a loaf. A man with half a cup and going to bed early.
No man is discourteous.
And now, here is Buzz Girdley. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Movie maker Michael Moore does not stand alone in his criticism of President Bush. He now has the backing of Miramar Pictures. Moore, who calls Bush the fictitious president, has convinced Miramar to bankroll his next documentary.
Oh, wow.
Seeing that Moore's movie Bowling for Columbine grossed $40 million worldwide, Miramax has agreed to finance Moore's next project, Fahrenheit 9/11.
That's Miramax. What did you say in the beginning?
Miramax.
Miramax?
You said Miramar.
Miramax. Did I? I meant to say Miramax. Maybe I'm just goofy tired.
Thank you, Buzz. See, Nick?
Mm-hmm.
Take a lesson from Buzz.
That's how you do it when you're a stand-up guy, Nick.
Nick, you dick.
And I might have been wrong saying Miramar. I don't know if I knew you.
And I'm too tired to know if you were right or wrong.
I don't know if I heard you say that or not.
You said Malomar.
Malomar. That's what it was. Well, Moore calls it the story of twin sons of different
oil men. Now I want to play the Mar game, and it's just hopeless because you guys were playing some kind of game before.
We were playing the Tommy Rowe game.
Tommy Rowe game, and you were doing the Rose.
Well,
T. Rowe Price.
Who? Who's that?
It's a stock brokerage.
T. Rowe Price? You got to bring it down to my level, dude.
T. Rowe Price is like Smith Barney, you know, like
again,
Shearson. You run ads for them.
Make it cartoon characters, and I'm with you. If you want to do like brokerage houses, take it to O'Reilly. I mean, I'm the wrong guy for that. Why are you looking at me in that tone?
Well, that's you.
Well, come on, just because you're tired.
I'm tired, too.
Don't get mad at me just because you're tired.
Dude.
Moore's next project is Fahrenheit 9/11. He calls it the story of twins.
Hey, dude, listen.
Hey, bud. I'm tired, too.
I know you are,
bad
dude.
Bad timing, dude. I'm just trying to make it through.
Now, hold on.
Hey, dude.
Hey, listen, bud. Don't get on.
Hey, bud.
Case.
Don't call me bud, dude.
No, listen. I'm only calling you bud because you called me, because you got mad that I called you dude, bud.
I hate it when you call me dude.
I'm just doing it to
call
around.
You a dirty word than dude.
I hate dude. That's why I called
dude,
you.
Dude, hate
just
dude.
Cause it's
bring
nutty.
It down, dude.
You know who's a bad dude is Smith Barney. I don't trust that dude.
But see, you know him, right? And T. Rowe Price.
No, I don't, but I don't know T. Rowe Price.
Well, it counts because they're big. They're huge. They're, I think, right?
I've not heard of them.
You've never heard of T. Rowe Price?
Not until now.
Thanks for the help, dude.
I'm sorry. I haven't heard of them.
Hey,
Rob, you ever heard of T. Rowe Price?
No, I haven't.
No. Okay. All right. There I am. Sorry.
Hey, now, hey, Tiger.
No, here I am.
Tiger.
T. Rowe Price. T. Rowe Price. They're very well known.
The Chinese guy?
No.
Oh.
Oh, F him.
This is T. Rowe Price.
All right, let's move on. I'm in a bad mood.
So,
now, don't be in a bad mood.
I'm in a bad mood. I thought it was a common brokerage house, T. Rowe Price.
I'm sure a lot of our listening audience knows who that is.
Yes, because I'm such an elitist.
It's just the guys
I'm
in this room.
I'm such an elitist, yes, because I'm so effing broke.
The guys in this room.
Well, never mind. Now, I have no comment on that.
I have so much money.
I have no comment. You're doing okay.
I'm the, yeah.
You're doing okay.
Yeah.
50% is okay.
Yeah, twice. Okay.
Okay, but the first one's done.
Yeah, I know the first one's done. You're missing a very important point.
What's that?
There was a first one.
All right, okay. Dude.
Okay, bud.
Michael Miramore's next project is called Fahrenheit.
Michael who?
I'd call him Miramore.
That's easy.
Just the focus, you see.
I didn't think that was particularly funny, Buzz.
Okay, Michael Moore's next project, Fahrenheit 9/11. He calls it the story of twin sons of different oil men. Quoting him, what if the day after Oklahoma City, Bill Clinton, worried about the safety of the McVeigh family, allowed a jet to take him out of the country? And because Disney owns Miramar, Bush backers are now talking about a boycott against Disney over the Michael Moore film.
So you said T. Rowe Price, and I'm like, huh?
T. Rowe Price.
T. Rowe Price. You know, I mean,
they're like, I think
you know,
they're like one of those logos. I think they've also got a bull
as their logo, like the big one. Who's the big one?
Merrill Lynch has the bull.
Merrill Lynch, they have a bull.
Give me Vincent Price, and I'll play the price game with you.
Mark Price.
The Price is Right.
You're king of the prices.
I'm
emotionally out of gas.
Not really, because the Price is Right doesn't really count.
I'm emotionally out of gas.
Not really. Here's some dude who's outraged.
Outraged.
Hey, Bud, why are you outraged?
Well, after Fidelity, T. Rowe Price is probably the best well-known group of funds out there. Yes, Don, you should know these
They do
things.
TV commercials. They do TV
why
commercials.
Why should I know this? My wife pays all my bills.
But you hear what I just said?
I don't even know my salary.
They do lots of TV commercials.
During shows that, hello, I don't want.
I think they do shows. I think.
Do they run ads during 24?
No, but they probably run ads during football.
They do not run ads during 24.
They absolutely did.
How much you want to bet? I got a TiVo on last night's 24.
You got 100 on it, Don.
You're on. Hold on and leave your name and number.
Okay.
I swear to God, if I'm wrong, I'll give you $100.
That's the only reason I know them is because they do TV commercials.
No, I actually know them because my iPod.
Hello, T-Ro.
I hate when I get put in that box.
T-Ro, this is M. O'Mara.
Yes, please. Make sure that all my funds are transferred over to Muffy T-Ro Prize. Tell my friends at Smith Barney and shares the Lehman Brothers.
I want 1,000 shares of DIVORCE.com.
Right.
Snap them up for me.
Yeah, and I can't. And with your TV viewing.
Yeah, no, I know all the others. I know Shearson and Merrill Lynch.
Right? Well, you heard what that guy said.
Yeah.
Number two.
I believe him. I just hadn't heard of him.
All right, whatever.
Mike, and understand from my standpoint, it's out of my hands.
No, it's not between me and you anymore.
Okay.
You know how that works.
I know. It bounces
off. Yeah, it's always, you know.
Bounces off me and.
It's always when I look for just a little help, you know.
It's on buzz.
You know, 19 effing years, never gotten it.
You've always been there for me.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's the way we all do it, isn't it?
Yeah, every man for himself.
All right, Fag. All right.
Was that all right, Fag?
No, I didn't say that. No, I didn't say a word. No, no problem at all. No, I'm fine. Now move on.
People
don't give me silence now.
People should not be stereotyped because of the color of their skin or lack of color, for that matter. The producers of The Matrix Reloaded, which opens today, actually, are taking some heat for their portrayal of some albino characters.
Excuse me, Buzz. I'm very interested in The Matrix Reloaded.
Uh-huh.
If we weren't sleep deprived, I would go see it tonight.
Yes.
We do have somebody on the telephone, and it's not Tom Gavin.
All right.
To back you up on T-Row Price.
Very good.
T-Row. It's not like some sort of fiddle player.
Hello?
Yes, T-Row Price. He's very famous.
Thank you, Dennis.
And also, I know because I'm down $10,000.
So you have mutual funds with T-Row Price.
Yeah, in my Isla. Glow stock.
Dennis Murphy has his stocks with T. Rowe Price.
Dennis has your back on this.
You know what, Dennis?
Yes.
I don't remember you ever helping me more.
T. Rowe Price, I've been with him for the last 10 years.
There you go. All right. Thank you.
Don, T. Rowe Price is famous.
Famous.
Thanks. Listen, I'm not discounting it. I just never heard of it. In my simple world of, you know, I don't know what I meant.
And I find it difficult to imagine you not because of their TV exposure.
Yeah.
Because that's the only reason I know them.
I would think they buy ads maybe like during stuff you watch, like golf and...
And you're absolutely right. That I don't dispute.
And probably like Meet the Press and Face the Nation.
But I would say golf is probably where I've seen their ads.
All that crap I don't want.
And I skip the commercials, so...
And the Final Four. And the Final Four had a commercial, too.
We were down there for that, though, Dennis.
Oh, okay.
They had a commercial during the Final Four.
Yeah.
Dennis, all this help.
Hey, you know, with me being unemployed, I watch a lot of television lately.
And you don't own a TiVo, do you?
Oh, no. I'm not rich like you are.
Mm-hmm.
But, can I have people go to my site, DennisMurphy.com?
Sure. Hey, dude, does T-Row have a dental plan?
Well, T-Row Price, I think they do in Chicago.
There you go.
All right, DennisMurphy.com, everybody.
Yeah, because I'm begging for a job. I'm a resume online.
Oh, very good.
All right.
Okay, good clip. I'll cut with y'all later.
You have a pleasant evening.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Dennis. Dennis, thank you for the help.
No problem, Mike. Hey, Mike, I still owe you a dinner.
All right, yeah, and you know what? After this, no.
okay.
All right, bye, Dan.
You are gone.
Bye-bye.
Gone, Mike.
Bye-bye.
Doug?
Yes, Dennis.
Please continue.
Why, thank you, sir. Have a good day.
Bye. You too.
Bye-bye.
Oh, look at that.
Don't flip my friend off, Rob.
Very good.
Because
Mike's ace in the hole.
Uh-huh.
Continue.
How about that? The producers of The Matrix Reloaded are taking some heat for their portrayal of some albino characters.
Whoa. Yeah, that's more it.
Yeah.
Whoa.
You cut it off.
Whoa. Did we talk about this on the air?
No, we talked about it on the bus yesterday on our way to the airport.
I saw him on Jay Leno when we were in Iceland because there are only two TV channels.
Mm-hmm.
And Jay Leno, who just sucks ass, says, "So, you're on the cover of Time magazine." And Keanu Reeves says, "Neo is on the cover."
Neo.
Douchebag.
Whoa.
Douchebag. Albino.
Well, quoting...
It used to be my radio name. You got a record for me, Rob? Yeah. KCBQ. Albino with you. I want to send this one out to Mike. Special dedication from Taro Price.
Hey, girl.
Taro. Taro.
Taro like tarot cards.
Then I got it. Here you go. I got it for you.
Better one?
I got it, yeah. And I know we're up on the clock here, Buzz, so I'll make this fast. This is Albino, and I want to say have a good Wednesday to my good friend Michael O'Mara. Enjoy your water tonight, and here's a request from Taro Price.
Thank you. You're gone.
And finally, you've heard of turning chicken S into chicken salad? In Sweden, a guy has discovered a way to make paper out of bear poop.
Folk food. This is Albino on WHYT. Get it? WHYT. White. Albino. Rabbit eyes.
Albino. Little bunny eyes, little red eyes.
Anyway, Buzz, a guy's done one.
In Sweden, a guy has discovered a way to make paper out of bear poop. Folk Boog works for a forestry museum in a small village up around the Arctic Circle. He says the bear poop paper varies in color depending on what the bear had eaten. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, wow.
Nemo. Neo.
You know what? We're 30 seconds early.
Really?
30 seconds early.
Well, then let me just
Who's been on hold the longest?
DennisMurphy.com.
Oh, this guy has been on hold for 25 minutes.
Wow.
You got about 10 seconds. Where are you calling from?
Lansdale, Pennsylvania.
Legacy. Philly. Okay, what is it?
This is actually Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm telling you to vote. Vote now. Oh. Pull the lever. Go to the booth. Go now.
A guy waited 25 minutes for that.
Worth it.
Good day to you, sir.
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 All right, dude.
Okay, bud.
Okay.
Bye. Yeah.
Peter Tim.
Till we meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.